It's all in.
Is your time so empty?
No. I run the office and tend the cabins and grounds and do little errands for my mother, the ones she allows I might be capable of doing.
Do you go out with friends?
Well, a boy's best friend is his mother.
Thank you.
The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
I will look for you. I will find you. And I will kill you.
Open the pod bay doors, Hal.
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that.
What's the most you ever lost on a coin toss?
Sir?
The most you ever lost on a coin toss.
Yeah, well, yeah.
He wants to kill me so bad he can taste it.
I got always going to kill
him. Attica! Attica!
Well, yeah.
Attica! 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 Attica!
There's only one man who would dare give me the raspberry. Lone Star!
The first rule of Fight Club is, you do not talk about Fight Club.
I drink your milkshake. I drink it up.
You are now listening to Cinema Press 37.
Welcome to episode 70 of Cinema Crespediso. I am your host, Christopher Crespo. Oh my God, I forgot to do this. All right, thank you very much. I appreciate it. Welcome to the show, Cinema Crespediso. We're here to talk about movies and have a lot of good fun. With me, as always, the Andy Richter, Mike Conan, Drew Sakagra. Drew, how's it going?
What's up, bro? Can I get a slow clap this time? Do we have a slow clap that I can get?
That's as slow as
it is. Nah, it's not very slow. Why the Nazis, man? Always the Nazis.
And our special guest, the first time on the show, super excited about this, from Answer Pants. You can listen to Answer Pants on Rampant Radio, Chico.
What's going on? You need the old school slow clap. The get up and walk out of here slow clap.
Yeah, seriously. That's what I want.
And it gets a little bit faster as you go. And the door's like, who's coming with me?
Exactly.
Who's coming with me?
I am working with the world's worst soundboard here. Actually, a combination of two of the world's worst soundboards. But I'm doing the best I can. One day I'll actually drop that dollar and get the one that has a slow clap.
It works. You can have
Come
it.
On. I'll throw
Ivan.
Down.
You can build them.
I'll give you.
You actually can build them. That's right. But that's.
I'll pay 50 cents on that dollar, bro. I'll throw half on the soundboard, yo.
This guy is finally contributing to the show. Thank you so much, Drew. I appreciate it.
Well, finally contributing. So what, me talking for the last year hasn't been contributing?
And designing the stickers and the t-shirts.
He just wants your money.
And
that's all it took. It's just actual coin.
None of that's counted at all.
No, none of that counts. So all that money that I spent on that stuff, that doesn't count.
But the 50 cents.
This 50 cents, so this counts.
Now you've proven to me that you want to be here.
I hate you, die.
All right, well, Chico, thank you so much. We'll talk a little bit later about Answer Pants.
Oh, that's cool.
We've had on the show before. We've had on the show before Ivan and Etchy in one episode.
Very cool.
Where Ivan, you know, he's a busy dude, this Ivan guy. He's got like eight jobs and his four families, kids. 300 kids. Yeah. It's ridiculous. So he can only do the first half of the show. So he brought along Etchy, and Etchy did the second half.
Oh, very cool.
That was really cool. So I kind of feel bad for Etchy, though. Because like, I robbed him of the full show experience. So we're going to have to bring him back soon. Plus, I haven't even had a chance to meet Todd yet.
No.
So
it's usually we have guests, not on purpose, but on opposite days with Todd. Because when Todd comes in, you know, the studio can get full of people.
Absolutely.
It can get full with people. We got a lot of mics in there.
And he doesn't come on every show because he doesn't live that close to the studio.
Exactly. So we alternate when Todd's not going to be in, we bring a guest in.
Guests
don't get to meet Todd.
Wow. So I'm going to have to bring him here so I can meet him because he sounds like a nice guy. He's always like retweeting our stuff on Twitter and stuff. So it's very cool. I really appreciate that. Nice guy. But hey, let's go ahead and get this show started. Episode 70. Drewster Cogburn, let's warm up that Crespediso Netflix randomizer 9000. I think he lost one. Yeah, that wasn't an important one anyway. Chico, if you don't mind, will you please reach into the Crespediso randomizer, pick one. There you go. It's all warmed up. Hand that to Drew so he can verify that it's still on there. We appreciate that. For every Netflix pick of the week. Try again. That's a zonk. If you get three zonks, Chico, where you have to kick you out of here, brother. Oh, so man. Here we go. We're reaching in there. It could be quick. It's never happened before. We've never had anyone get two zonks in a row. So go ahead.
I had the urge to check it myself just to make sure.
Yeah, right. No, we should.
Ooh, man, I hope this one's on there.
That was close. Okay, if it's not on there, that doesn't count as a song. It'll be good to go. Okay, buddy, you can check all past Netflix instant picks of the week at chriscrespo.com. We do one every week. Last week was Drew. Do you remember?
Last week
the one before that was Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Yeah, because we watched it.
And then last week was something good.
I got nothing.
I wanted to blame you guys for killing off Bob Hoskins.
Oh, I know. We talked about it. It was like 2 days later.
But because you guys picked it, was. I sat down with the wife. I'm like, let's watch it. We haven't watched it. She loves,
yeah,
she
watched
loves
it too.
And I'm like, they brought him back up, and it's like he was still alive until everybody gave attention.
Exactly.
He was fine,
and then he died.
It's the ringing of the ears that he had. His people were like, Bob Hoskins was great in that movie. And he's like,
he was a little too old for that tinnitus. Oh man, I do feel a little bad about that. What a underrated actor, great actor. But we're good, Drew.
We are good, sir.
Okay, so Chico. In Bruges.
I've heard of this movie.
It's so good. Ralph Fiennes says fuck so many times. It's amazing.
It's crazy.
I love watching Ralph Fiennes say fuck.
Ralph Fiennes, when he curses, for some reason, funniest thing in the world.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know why.
It's so fantastic. I love it.
Because he's Ralph Fiennes.
He's just so
proper.
He's such
a refined, proper Englishman. But then when he goes, fuck, 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 like over and over, it's like, holy shit, that's funny.
No, I've never paid attention to it. When he cruises.
Yeah. Well, and like the movie just did, the Grand Budapest Hotel, the Wes Anderson movie.
Yes, I have that saved. I haven't seen it yet, but
that's one of the
really
good.
My wife does not want to see it.
So really?
Anything that is somewhat artsy,
a little quirky,
she doesn't want to see it. Like when I showed her this, she's like, is this like Four Rooms movie you made me watch?
Yeah, kind of.
And I'm like, it kind of seems like it, but that was good too.
Four Rooms was.
She's like, it was all right. Like, are you serious? There's so many people. Every separate scene was, you know, they had four different parts.
Yeah. And that last one was directed by Tarantino. Yeah, I mean, come on, it's a mini Tarantino movie. Grand Budapest Hotel is a little different from that. She might like it because it does have a nice emotional center to it. If she can get into that, right, she might be able to excuse some of the quirkiness, the artiness, gotcha, you know. But in that one, there's a few times when he's like, that fucker, and he curses. And it's just the funniest thing because he just exclaims. And in Bruges, he plays a mafia, like heavy, a bad guy with a huge temper problem.
Oh, yeah.
Colin Farrell plays a depressed mob hitman who gets sent to this little town, Bruges, which is like a tourist trap of a town, you know, like, is it in England?
No, it's in Belgium.
Apologies to our UK listeners.
It's in Belgium.
It's in Belgium. Yeah. Apologies to our European listeners because we have a bunch of them. Right. But they go to Bruges. He sends them to Bruges because he has to hide out there for a few days while he's there. He's getting hammered drunk. Another hitman that accompanies them, Brendan Gleeson, big Brendan Gleeson. 28 days later. Okay. Remember that? The father, the guy who gets the blood in his eye?
This guy.
Yeah. He was in he's done a couple movies.
He's on a bunch.
Yeah, he's in a bunch.
He's Colin Farrell too, right?
I think so. Probably. Yeah. He pops up in a lot of movies,
especially
in small parts.
Especially the British movies.
Yeah. In British movies, or if he happens to play like a he's a big guy, so he has to play like an imposing dude.
He's in the Harry Potter flicks, the dude with the wobbly eye.
Yes. Yeah, that's exactly right. That's a great reference point. He plays a hitman that accompanies Colin Farrell, and he's like trying to pick him up a little bit. Peter Dinklage.
Yeah.
Is it Peter Dinklage?
Yes.
Or is it someone else?
No. Ooh. You know, hang on. Let me check.
Now I feel bad. Now I'm mixing up my little people.
Let me check.
Little people.
That feels prejudiced. Yeah, I'm trying to be cool about it.
Yeah,
you
gotta be cool.
No, it's not Dinklage.
It's another little guy. Sorry, Dinklage. I wanted to give you some support.
I never understood the midget thing. Like how they get offended by it. Like
it's just a word. It's just the N word.
It's not just the N. The N word has a whole horrible comment.
Well, the N word. No, the N word is the N word. The N word is.
You can't throw
it. It's a one letter before.
Yeah, it's just like the N word. No, it's not just like the N word.
It's like the R word. No, it's the R word is like a few letters down from the N word. Yeah,
but
yeah, it's totally different.
Kind of, I don't know.
Yeah, but yeah, if it's supposed to be what, you know, it's like apparently you're not supposed to say tranny anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
I know.
Yeah, seriously.
But hey, transgender.
They're trannies.
Drew doesn't give a fuck.
No. There are no fucks given here.
Trannies means two things. It's in your car.
Yeah.
And it's in the Parliament House.
Exactly.
That's it.
Yes.
But all right. So are there any transgenders? I don't think there are. There are some hookers in this movie, though.
Yes, there are.
And drugs. Lots
of
cursing.
Lots of drugs.
And lots
of drugs.
It's a dark comedy, sort of.
It is dark comedy.
I mean, because that part gets really heavy, but it's also really funny at times. Colin Farrell's great. Everyone's great.
Everybody's great. The alcoves.
The alcoves.
The alcoves.
The alcoves.
The nooks and crannies.
Yeah, the nooks and crannies. It's a good movie. Definitely, I'm glad this one finally came up. What did I give it on Netflix? 4 stars? I think I made that one a 4-star. 4 out of 5. So In Bruges, Bruges.
It's one of the few times I actually really like Colin Farrell. Most of the time, he's not a fan. You know, I could just blow him off, whatever. I don't care about you.
I'm the same way, except for what is the, with Kiefer Sutherland, is it?
Phone Booth.
Phone Booth. I don't know. I know people don't like that movie. Yeah. I thought it was great.
I like the first, how long is that movie? 90 minutes? Something I like the first 85 minutes of that movie. When Kiefer Sutherland reveals himself and he touches him, he's like, you'll be fine. And he walks away like he's some sort of fucking superhero. I was like, fuck this movie, man. Fuck that movie. What a shitty ending. But I do like the whole, like a bottle episode thing. It's all in one location. Yeah, it's all stuck and in one very location. Tense.
I love the intensity of that. How it's all stuck there. You're not running to a bunch of different areas. Mm-hmm. And then trying to find out where he is, which that kind of drove me crazy for a little bit too. It's like, okay, so evacuate everything,
right?
And then check the room.
It would seem so simple, right?
But then you wouldn't have a movie. Such a big deal. We've got all these people. Just evacuate every. Have cops check every room.
Yeah.
Nobody answered this one. Bust the door down.
Well, now you have a 20-minute movie. What are you gonna do for another 70 minutes? You know? Right. Yeah, exactly. You can't. Yeah, that's a problem. Well, that is one of the better. I would say, even though I don't like the ending, that's still one of the better Joel Schumacher movies.
Yeah.
Because the guy. Yeah.
The guy put nipples on the bat suit.
He put nipples on the bat suit. The Phantom of the Opera with Gerard Butler. He's like, I'm the Phantom of the... You know, it's just like, that's not good, bro. But then he did do Falling Down.
Yeah, Falling Down is great.
So, man, I mean, I'll give Schumacher... I'll kind of give him, in some ways, a pass forever just for Falling Down.
But I think that's what happens a lot of times. You make one good movie, and then they give you a pass to make crap. And then you make another good movie. And
if you give him a pass to make crap. That's almost as good as what he did before. Like, oh, maybe this guy still has some hope. He can still crank something.
All right. You redeemed yourself. Go ahead and make more crap.
Right, yeah. Well, we'll see. What's Schumacher? Actually, he was... the last thing I know he did was a few episodes of House of Cards on Netflix.
I love that, too.
Yeah, yeah.
It is such a great show.
It is.
An amazing show.
I just started the second season. I just got, like, two shows into it.
Nice stuff.
We just finished the second season.
It ramps up. I thought it started a little slow. I wasn't even too sure.
And then it just goes.
Yeah. About halfway through it, I was like... Yes.
I'm like, I don't know, you know, with... I don't know what the terminals are max, but like a mark, which would be like a super fan for it.
Yeah, yeah.
Where... The show started, the first episode, I'm watching through it. I'm like, he hasn't talked to us. At the end, when he talks to you in the mirror,
I
popped, man. Like, yes, he's talking to me again.
When he was like, you thought I forgot about you.
I was like, yes, I did.
It's actually funny. When he got to that moment, I didn't even realize that he hadn't talked to the camera the whole time.
He hasn't given us our Zach Morris moment.
Yeah, the Zach Morris moment. And then when he did that, I was like, oh, that was a slick move you guys pulled there.
I started feeling like they replaced him talking to us with they added the text message thing. You saw the text message?
Yeah, that's come up recently in movies now, where a good way to communicate between characters non-verbally is through, like, you see them on their phones. Yeah. That happened a lot in that Liam Neeson movie, Liam Neeson on an Airplane. Well, Nonstop.
See, I didn't watch that. I thought it seemed...
It's a Redbox movie.
Yeah. I feel like everything Liam Neeson does now is... And he's a great actor. Yeah, but everything is based on the Taken character.
It's based on him being a badass.
Right.
Absolutely.
Like, let's take Taken guy.
You're absolutely right.
He's doing everything.
In Taken, The Gray, and in Nonstop, he's a regretful parent or husband.
Right.
He's regretful about some relationships in his life. I think in all of them, not in Taken, but the other ones, he's a substance abuse, and he's always grizzled and like trying to do something, you know. Yeah, it's absolutely.
It's a great example of now too how Hollywood is
out of ideas,
and so there's so many movies where disgruntled parent has a background of some kind of military or something badass.
Yeah. 3 days to kill,
and they take his kid, or something involving his family, and he's reluctant because don't do this anymore.
I don't even know. I mean, the mantra is out of ideas, but lately I'm thinking it's not so much just out of ideas, but
capitalizing,
scared. Yeah, capitalizing on things that make money.
Oh, that made money, so let's put Kevin Costner in a film just like this.
Right, exactly, absolutely. As opposed to let's do something different and daring because we don't know if it's gonna make any money, and we're trying to make money. Movie making shouldn't be about making money. People that invest in films should be doing it as patrons, where they don't expect to make money back. But then again, if you do that, you wouldn't get Inception.
Exactly.
Yeah. Because it's hard to raise that kind of money. Like Cloud Atlas cost $100 million. That was all independently raised. No one wanted to fund that movie. So they had to get $5 million here, $2 million there to get to $100 million. Yeah. And even then, they made a low-budget three-hour epic.
It's so crazy.
I've seen people bitching about people using Kickstarter now. For movies,
right? It's supposed to be for like non-professionals.
But I think it's great because that's the way you get good films out of that. The people have a great idea, but the offices don't want to pay for it.
Right?
The big studios don't want to. Like, no, that's not going
to
work.
I'm interested in seeing Zach Braff's follow up to Garden State. Apparently, he couldn't get the money to put it together, so he got it through Kickstarter, and it worked for him. And the trailer looks good.
It does.
Looks good, so maybe it'll be a good movie. Go. Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's jump into this Mother's Day weekend box office. In case you people don't know, because the show started with all that mom stuff. Shout outs to mom if you're still listening. I love you. All right, Drew, let's go.
All right. Well, starting off at number five this week,
yeah,
we have Captain America: The Winter Soldier. Made another 5.6 mil, mm-hmm, total gross 244.9.
Man, wow. I called it first weekend
here in the States
between 250 and 275. That's where it's going to end up here in the States. Of course, it makes its money international.
Of course,
we're looking.
Which
at
surprises me because the Captain America movie. I never thought it would.
When they made the first Captain America movie, that was a very big concern, which is why here the movie is called Captain America.
Yeah.
That's it, right? It was just called...
No, the First Avenger.
That's why they tacked on the First Avenger, because that they had to... They wanted to tie it into Avengers International, mm-hmm, so it was like, it's not just Captain America, it's all about the Avengers thing, you know? Yeah, but now it's making $450 million international, puts it at $695 worldwide, just about $700 million.
What'd you guys think? I know you guys probably talked about it.
Right? Oh yeah, no, it was good. It was good.
I really enjoyed it. It was the one of the first comic book movies with some actual substance to it.
In a while, for sure, especially coming out of the Marvel universe. Right.
I thought it was great. I just thought it was almost too much for a Captain America movie.
In what way?
Too much going on for one character.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit.
So much going on. I was expecting the whole time. I'm like, okay, so all this is going on. I don't know if it's too late, too early to give stuff away.
At this point, it's been over a month. Seriously. Whoever hasn't seen it by now, you know, right, they don't care that much.
So they're launching the ships.
Right, at the end.
And I'm like, where's the rest of the Avengers team? Because this is more of like a global destroyer kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Like, at this point, you would think that there would be backup, not just Captain America handling this.
With just Hawkeye.
Yeah.
Was that, well, not Hawkeye. No, no, what did he call it? What's the name of his character?
What the hell his name is.
Anthony Mackie's character?
Some dude in a suit.
Falcon.
Falcon, yeah. There you go.
Just for them. Like, where's Tony Stark?
I didn't even think about that.
I know in the last film, like, he's gone from all that, but somebody else would come up and do something.
He's gone from all that, but he's not going to be, because he's coming back for Avengers 2, for sure.
Right, and I understand that's probably why they didn't bring him back, but it just seemed like so much going on.
They could have had other characters helping him out. No,
like, they had the Scarlet Witch. Not Scarlet Witch.
Black Widow. I wanted to say Scarlet Widow.
Scarlet Johansson.
That's hysterical.
Nope, my bad.
You know, that's actually a good observation. I didn't think about that at all.
The whole time I'm watching, I'm like, this is too much for one guy to do. Yeah, but
I guess that's also a symptom of how these movies have to have that huge third act where it has to be a gigantic action scene.
Because they're superheroes,
so it's all escalation.
Yeah. And it was a great story. I mean, it's a great story. Very James Bondish.
James Bondish.
Political thriller.
Espionage. Right. You know, you don't know who to trust. You know, stuff like that. I really enjoy that stuff.
Robert Redford's in the movie.
Yeah. I mean, you can't not think of, like, All the President's Men and shit like that. You know, when he's with the Sting, you know, he's got Robert Redford. So
The coolest thing to me about it was the connection to the TV show. Do you guys watch the TV show at all?
No, we don't watch S.H.I.E.L.D.
No.
They have that S.H.I.E.L.D. show, and the connection, even though if you watch S.H.I.E.L.D.
What is the connection? I have no idea.
Well, the whole Hydra thing that happens.
Yeah.
The TV show, S.H.I.E.L.D. is based, obviously, on the movie. So
yeah. Right.
S.H.I.E.L.D. is gone. What TV show do you have? The TV show is dealing with.
Oh, so Hyde the TV show is the.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
And it's furthering the story along while they're. From what I've read, they're going to connect. Like, it's going to connect where what happened here, what happens on the TV show, is going to affect the next Avengers movie.
Interesting.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
But if you watch the next episode of S.H.I.E.L.D. after opening day, gave away the whole story.
That's right, because then it would have to incorporate all that stuff, all the Hydra stuff.
As soon as you watch it, you're like,
I've seen Captain America.
Well,
Hydra's behind everything. Hydra's been inside.
Yeah, we did do an episode a while ago, a bonus episode. I was just talking about spoilers and, like, when can you start talking about spoilers for movies and stuff. And I actually found it kind of a little outdated, but still a list, a recommended chart for when you can put out spoilers. And their thing for movies was the Monday after it comes out. Like, you have Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Monday, go crazy with the spoilers. So maybe Marvel took that tag. They were like, you know, if you haven't seen it opening weekend, screw you guys. Here's what happens in Captain America.
People still went saw the movie anyway. Yeah, I don't think it would make you miss it. I don't think there's not much that you could spoil. Unless it's supposed to be like if you were to spoil the M. Night movies, like back like Sixth Sense and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Then I might be like, well, that were like built the whole time, on those. I don't need to go see it.
Right.
Yeah. I'm like, I already know.
Yeah. But actually, you know what? You would think that, but then I remember reading a study online about a year ago that said when plot details are given and the story is so-called spoiled, for the most part, it doesn't make them want to not watch the movie or hear the story. They'll still want to know what happens, even though they know the ending.
Right.
I guess people still... Actually, that kind of makes people, a small segment of people, it makes them feel better about, because they have less anxiety. My mom was one of these people. When she watches a movie like Gravity, she wouldn't want to see Gravity without knowing how it ends. She went online. I wouldn't tell her. I was like, no, just go see the movie, Mom. Just go see the movie. Yeah. She's like, nope. She went online and she looked up the ending and she's like, okay, now I feel better. I won't have so much anxiety when I see the movie. Now I can actually
like
watch it.
See, I like that. I feel like I've lost. Maybe a lot of people feel the same way, where they've lost a lot of that, especially with trailers.
Yeah.
Trailers give away so much now that I'll catch one, like the first trailer. But if I see a trailer that says more than like a minute and a half, I'm not watching
it. Try not to watch it.
I'm not watching it, because seriously, there's 2 hours. In a minute and a half, you can show me clips from everything.
Oh, yeah, totally.
And you guys talked about it in one of the past episodes about Spider-Man.
Yeah.
How they have that big, the Rhino and Spider-Man battle scene. And that's the end.
And they do pretty much show you
the whole thing. They show you the end shot. Like the entire end shot.
Aside from the
shot.
Yeah.
Is right there.
When he, in the trailer.
From the kid.
Yeah.
At the beginning, they show you the whole thing.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. When he's running down the street, he's swinging around with the man cover and knocking the missiles.
That is the end scene.
And then he swipes out the camera and cuts black. That's how the movie ends.
Right.
It's like lame. Yeah. That ticked me off.
That
reminds me, the movies we were at yesterday showed a new trailer for The Purge: Anarchy. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Whoa. All right. Completely different movie.
Okay. So that first Purge trailer. Have you seen the first one where it shows them the car breaking down?
The first trailer.
I saw
one. I don't know if I watched the whole thing, but I did love the first Purge. I know a lot of people didn't like it.
It was
very predictable.
I was just let down by it. It was a house.
Predictable, yeah. but I dug it. I mean,
for what it was, a home invasion movie, it was done okay enough, and I really liked Ethan Hawke. He really committed to it. You know, that's what he does a lot now. He does these like horror movies or these B movies, but he commits to it with all his might, which is, you know, it lends the movie a lot of credibility.
He's a go-to guy.
Yeah, he is. But I was disappointed that they have this grand idea of The Purge and the entire movie's in one house. And then obviously The Purge Anarchy looks like it's going to be finally capitalizing that idea. Let's get into the streets. Let's see what really happens during The Purge.
I think that's what hooked me to the movie is the idea.
That's what hooked everyone.
The idea
that movie
of,
made a
of
ton
this
of
happening.
Money.
Yeah.
This
yeah.
happening, you know, it's all concentrated in the house, but just like it was a small story.
Yeah.
And I always thought to myself, I'm like, it'd be cool if they did different stories. Like if this doesn't stop, or do people fight back against it?
Right.
You know, how does this all work? Like if they spin off of this.
Well, what happened is first they had this teaser trailer that shows these people are driving, this couple, and their car breaks down right as the sun is going down, and then the emergency broadcast comes on, and then it's just them, quick shots of them running around, crazy peeps on bikes, a couple of crazy shots here and there. It doesn't really tell you much, so it makes you think it's about this couple and they're on the run throughout the city the night of the Purge. They're trying to survive, and that's it. And you know what, I was like, alright, that's intriguing enough. It looks like this is the movie that I wanted the first time around. We just saw the new trailer, the full trailer.
Ooh, different movie.
Alright, first off, I had no idea Frank Grillo was in this movie.
Yep.
And he looks like he's one of the main guys.
I think he is the main character.
Frank Grillo, does his name sound familiar at all?
The name Grillo, I'm trying to picture him in my head.
We're talking about Captain America. The guy who played Crossbones, you know, they don't call him Crossbones.
Yeah.
He's the one, the main guy trying to cut. Yeah, that guy. He was also in Warrior. He's been popping up a lot lately. He's like, I'm glad that this guy is, because he has like that tough, like man presence that seems to be missing so much from movies these days.
Yeah, it looks like they're going to be doing a lot with him now.
Yeah, absolutely. He looks like one of the main guys in this movie. The first teaser didn't even have him in it, but he's in this trailer. But then the trailer goes so far and it shows
it
so much. It's like, I didn't want to know all these things.
Stop.
These look like they would have been cool reveals, you know? Cabin in the Woods showed you like the first, that trailer showed you the first 90 minutes of that 105 minute movie, you know? And it's like, okay, at least you held off the final big reveal, the last section of the movie.
Yeah.
At least you hit that.
At least I didn't spoil that off.
Yeah.
That would have made it so bad.
It's like, guys.
It would have just killed it.
It's weird how.
Because even though that movie's all right, Cabin in the Woods was, it's good. Mm-hmm. And the concept is good, but it still has that cheese factor to it.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, that's the point of it.
They do the horror comedy thing.
Right.
Yeah,
but
absolutely.
But having that whole twist to it, that's what kind of got me.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, it's all this big company.
This whole thing underground.
They're trying to stop the world from ending.
They're actually kind of good guys.
Very interesting.
But if they would have gave that away, I would have ruined it. It would have totally ruined it. I probably would have waited.
So marketing people, get your shit together. All right, let's fly through to the top five to the number one, Drew.
Right. Coming to number four this week, Heaven is for Real, $7 million. Total gross is $75.2 on a budget of 12.
Goddamn, Heaven is for Real, $75 million. That's what the producers are screaming. That's right.
Seriously.
They are thank God in that one.
Number three this week, The Other Woman. We can gross a 9.25. Mm-hmm. Total of 61.7 on a budget of 40.
The reviews for this one were pretty bad. But apparently, Cameron Diaz and Leslie Mann are just so likable.
That it's going to make money.
That's the reason people are still checking
out. I saw someone have no interest. Just nothing.
It's not
doing anything.
Not really made for guys like us.
No.
You know,
it's made for chicks.
It's made for the ladies.
Yeah. You would think that now, especially nowadays, that they would throw out a movie that's more for chicks, but that's going to suck us in to be like, all right, I'll go see that.
Try to find a way in. Maybe that's why they're throwing Kate Upton there in a bikini. Like, come on, guys, come look at this.
Yeah. I guess. I could do that on TMZ.
Yeah, that's what the internet's
exactly.
for.
Exactly.
Yeah, watch the Cat Daddy video.
All right, number two this week, The Amazing Spider-Man Dose. Weekend gross 37.2, total of 147.9.
That's kind of a drop, a bigger drop than they would have wanted. Last week it made a little over 90 million. So a 50% drop would have been 45 million this week.
Right.
So under 40 million in its second weekend, that's a little steep. That's what happens when the movie doesn't have really that strong word of mouth, you know. Yeah. And, you know, it's an okay enough movie. I just put out my review of it the other day because I'm a slacker, but I did it finally. And it's, you know, at the end of the day, it's like I tell people there's a lot of good things about it, but there's still some things that are very wrong in the storytelling department. Right. And it just doesn't.
It seems like a bridge movie.
It is a bridge movie.
It is
between
it's
the first one and we had this idea for this big thing, you know, for another movie.
Yes,
this movie's kind of going to connect all that.
We just need to introduce these characters,
and we need to fix some things that we fucked up the last time around.
This movie is a 2-hour and 20-minute commercial for The Amazing Spider-Man 3, 4, and The Sinister Six. Right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's exactly what it feels like. It feels like, you know, when they film like 2 and 3 together.
Yes,
and the second one
and then just stops.
Is just enough to connect it. That's what it feels like to me. But I don't think they did that.
I mean, but the whole Rhino thing with the end of Spider-Man, it's just that's the connector from movie 2 to 3. Yeah,
yeah.
It's the end of Back to the Future 2, where it's like, we got to send you back. You know, no, he's like, no, Doc, I'm back. I'm back. Yeah. You know, it's number one movie.
That's good. And number one this week.
Here we go.
Neighbors. Weekend gross 51 million. Same as total budget 18.
All right.
Boom. Money.
That's a lot of money. For an R-rated comedy, that's a lot of money.
Have you guys seen it?
Yeah.
Yes, we did. Yeah. Only on a budget of $18 million.
Yeah.
Damn. Also made $34 million already international. Probably Canada, UK.
Yeah.
$85 million total. This is written and directed by Seth Rogen. Not directed.
No.
Written by Seth Rogen and his buddy Evan Goldberg. Fan of Superbad?
Yeah.
Did you see This is the End?
Yes. Which I
Same
loved.
Guys.
Then I think you're going to like this movie, dude.
See, I thought about waiting. I saw it and I'm like, okay, I've seen a lot of these movies. I'm like, I get it.
Yeah, the commercials don't. The marketing doesn't do anything to make it stand out from any other R-rated bawdy comedy, you know, which is, you know, they're just trying to sell you the jokes. They're trying to sell you Zac Efron saying, like, oh, sorry, my balls in your face, or whatever he says when he hits Seth Rogen. But it's a good movie. It's actually kind of hard to sell what the emotional center of the movie is, because it does have, there are characters and they have goals and
arcs.
Yeah. It starts with Seth Rogen and what's her name, Rose Byrne.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Is she really Australian? The character. I guess she's Australian. I don't know. Her character's Australian. Yeah, I thought she was English.
Whatever.
My ears. I'm horrible with accents. That all sounds the same to me, mate.
Right then,
Governor.
Pip pip cheerio.
It starts with them like trying to have spontaneous sex while their little baby sits in a corner, kind of watching them, you know. And then Seth Rogen's like, "I can't do this. The baby's watching," and they're trying to, you know,
and
be
he goes
young.
Over, and he coddles the baby, and he's like, "Oh,
see, it's okay. It's okay. Turn around."
Turns around, and the baby staring at the wall, which is awkward enough as is.
Yeah, that's awkward.
A baby staring at the wall,
and then they go back to having sex,
and the baby just turns around, and smiles at him.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. So the whole movie is them trying to be like, "We're not the old people, you know. Just because we have a house and a kid doesn't mean we're old fogies." And then when the frat house moves in next door, they're like, okay, we got to be cool about this because we don't want to come across as old.
Right.
So the whole movie is them trying to like still be young and even kind of hold on to that irresponsible side of them. Then, of course, there's even a whole thing going with the frat people where Zac Efron's guy, he's more than just some like pretty face frat party guy. Like, he has worries and about his future, and, you know, and he's like lashing out at other people.
I was going to give him a whole story.
The whole thing. Not, okay. The vice president, Dave Franco, his buddy, he's got a whole thing where he's like questioning whether the frat stuff is even meaningful, and like he has a future because these guys are all about to graduate, you know. So there's actually a lot going on in there with the characters that it's more than just a bunch of dick jokes.
Yeah.
And trust me,
there are a lot of dick jokes.
There are a lot of dick jokes.
A lot. Yeah. Hell, there's even one scene that's pretty much just dedicated to dick jokes.
Yeah, it is. Two scenes.
Yeah.
It's a given anytime you get one of these movies.
Especially with Seth Rogen in there. Yeah. I don't know why, but that's the way
it is. And they're great. It's great movies. It's just, to me, it's not something I want to rush out and see in theaters. It's one of those, like, all right, let me go watch a movie.
Yeah,
oh, there
you know,
we go.
But
that's what I do with This Is the End. As much as I wanted to see This Is the End in theaters, because I thought, all these people in one place. That should be really cool.
Yeah.
And once I saw it at home, I was like, man, I should have gone and saw this in theaters.
Well, the thing with This Is the End, I would say with most comedies like this, especially with Neighbors, you don't have to see, there's no reason to see it in a theater. It's not like a big spectacle movie where the bigger screen,
the louder sound. This Is the End kind of was, though.
With This Is the End, at the end when it had the giant demons walking around and the huge monsters and stuff, well, actually, that stuff benefited from being seen in a theater. But it's rare, you know. Yeah. But most comedies like this, you're right. No need to rush out, you know. Now, it is cool seeing a movie. We see matinees mostly, so we don't get it. I do try to, like, every now and then for a comedy, I'll go see it on a Friday or Saturday night, even though I hate going to movies during the peak hours. But for a comedy or even horror films, when you get that group tension or the group laughter going on, it makes the movie seem even funnier. Like, sometimes. I remember seeing, I saw Ted in a packed theater.
Yeah.
And from front to end, the theater was there. People were dying laughing, and that was a lot of fun being in a comedy like that. You know,
I don't know. I think it's a sign of me getting older, but I don't like as much the big groups in the theaters anyway. Because I don't like. I used to like. Everybody screams and freaks out.
Yeah,
that was cool. But now everybody screams and freaks out, and it lasts so long. And I'm missing
that
lines that are coming after that.
I've seen that
the same thing
too.
In the comedy where people are cracking up laughing. They're repeating the line in theater loud as hell, just laughing. And I'm like, there was like seven lines.
Yeah, you guys missed three more jokes. Yeah. That happened when we saw a midnight screen of Black Dynamite
over
at the Enzian. First off, everyone's at the bar drinking beforehand.
Right.
And then we have more beers inside while the movie's playing. And then the movie's hysterical.
And that's a quoted movie.
It's a very quoted movie. So the first time people are watching, we can already start quoting.
I threw that shit before I came in the room.
So just like you said, that's one where a joke hits. Everyone's dying laughing, and then people are like, "Did you talking to each other?"
Right.
Like, well, there's still more jokes going on the screen. More. But then with that, I was like, you know what? For me, that's fine because then I can get Black Dynamite on DVD, go home and watch it again. Like, oh, there's more jokes. You know, it's like now I get to hear all this stuff the second time around. It's definitely a give and take. You know, when you see something in a big theater like that, this one we didn't see in a big theater. I still find myself wanting to laugh quite a bit. You know,
but his Neighbors, I know it's got the the family couple next door, but it made me think of something like Old School has Neighbors. Remember the Old School movie?
Yeah, it's a little more emotional than that because it's also directed by the guy that did the 5-year engagement and Forgetting Sarah Marshall. And those are movies that they're comedies, again, with like dick jokes and stuff. But both of those movies are very much about a relationship, a guy struggling with, you know, trying to keep everything together. Characters wanting different things and going in different directions while still trying to be together, all wrapped up in a comedy. So this actually has a lot more in relation to that than something like Old School, where it's just a bunch of dudes trying to reclaim their youth. You know, Will Ferrell streaking, like, let's go streaking.
Right.
You know, I would lump that together with like Anchorman and all the Will Ferrell, Adam McKay stuff.
Okay.
It's definitely a little more grounded in storytelling and character arcs, which I think at the end makes for a better movie.
It does.
Because, you know, yeah, sure, it's really funny, but then it also has a little bit of meaning to it. Kind of like a 50-50. You ever see that one?
Yeah. No, I haven't. I've
cancer comedy.
That's one I never got around to seeing.
It's a hard sell because you got to tell people it's a comedy about someone, a dude who gets cancer.
It's quite funny, though.
But it's very funny. But in the end, also, it's very it's very good. There's a lot that happens relationship-wise between the main dude and his best friend, who is Seth Rogen. Seth Rogen plays that guy because it's based on a real life. Seth Rogen, one of his friends, a writer, really did get cancer like in his 20s. And Seth Rogen was there for him and he helped him get through it. And then that dude wrote this story based on that experience. So then it has that moment of truth in it too, that nugget that's built on that.
Well, see, if it's a good story, then it's a saver because everything else becomes a throwaway, like flipping channels and there's Old School.
Yeah.
Like, cool, I'll watch this for a little bit.
Yeah, but it's a throwaway movie though. You know, You're My Boy Blue. You know, it's got stuff like that, but you know,
that's about it.
Who is Blue? He's just an old man who then had a heart attack.
Right.
Yeah.
Which was had the greatest heart attack. If you're going to have a heart attack, you want to do it in a pool with KY Jelly and two hot chicks.
He did have one of the best cinematic heart attacks. That's if I had to die. Drew, when you saw Neighbors, did it like sink in for you? How much did you like it? Did you not like it?
No, I mean, I enjoyed it. I mean, all the things that, you know, we've been saying has, you know, held true.
What about Zac Efron? What you think about that fellow?
He's okay. He's okay.
He didn't knock me out. He didn't like really impress me or anything.
I don't think he was supposed to in this movie.
His character isn't really that, you know.
I mean, yeah, Zac Efron's on the poster, and yeah, he is one of the main antagonists, but I mean, the story more centers on Seth Rogen and his family.
That's true.
As opposed to the frat guys.
That's true. It is more on that side.
Is Zac Efron supposed to kick in? Like, at some point, they keep using this guy. Like, this guy is the next big thing. At some point, he's supposed to.
Well, I think this is... I mean, $50 million opening weekend's pretty damn good. I think you could attribute that to being a team up of Seth Rogen and Zac Efron. Maybe it brought the two together because Zac Efron really doesn't have a track record when it comes to being a lead, and Seth Rogen's track record for being a lead isn't that great because it's really just he was co-lead in This Is the End, which did well, but before that was Green Hornet.
Can we not talk about that?
Okay, we won't talk about that.
Awful movie.
But then there's Knocked Up, but that was a while ago, and that was also with Katherine Heigl, and that was at the height of her popularity with Grey's Anatomy before everyone realized that she was a fucking bitch.
Yep.
I don't know. So I don't know. Is he? I guess he's still kind of. I mean, he's still a young dude, though. He's got to be the early 20s, right?
But it doesn't seem like when I saw the poster for it, just the poster alone.
And
you've got them both side by side. My first thought was, oh, Franco was busy.
Is he busy?
Like Franco should be there. He fits right into that. No, if Franco wasn't busy, he just wasn't in the movie this time.
Or maybe he's just a little too old. You know, they got the Dave Franco in there, the younger Franco. Definitely age appropriate. He looks age appropriate.
I saw pictures of production stuff, and James was there.
Oh, was he? He was hanging out.
He just wasn't in the movie.
I assume that all those guys just drop in at any time. Oh, yeah, exactly. I'm just gonna hang out. Hey, at some point, it's like,
what are you guys doing?
Hey, dude, you want to do this thing real quick? I just thought of this. What if you busted into that?
As a matter of fact, actually, you mentioned that the movie is littered with fantastic young comedians and comedians in like one-off roles. You know, like or Hannibal Buress, who showed up in two scenes as a cop. But there's a whole list of like really young comedians, people that are like hot right now or just getting hot.
That's cool.
And they pop up and you know, people are like, oh, I think I recognize that guy or this
that
dude.
That Mintz Plasse kid. I love his name.
Yeah, Christopher Mintz Plasse. Yeah, he doesn't. He barely says a word at the whole movie, too. Yeah. He's just a dude with a legendary penis.
Yep.
I'm trying to remember Christopher Mintz
Plasse. McLovin.
Oh, okay, yeah. What has he done since then?
He was the bad guy in Kick-Ass.
Yeah,
right. He's the bad guy in Kick-Ass, but like that's pretty much
those are his biggest things. Yeah, playing the motherfucker in Kick-Ass.
I mean,
too.
That's great for him because he'll.
It's a little different for him based on what he did on Superbad, but
there's
yeah.
nothing else. He hasn't done anything else.
Role Models, which is I mean, he was one of the kids.
Was that before?
I thought that was
before Superbad.
That was before Kick-Ass, after Superbad.
Okay,
yeah.
I thought it was before Superbad.
No, I was like right after because I think Superbad was what broke him out there because McLovin was a great character, and then he did Role Models a little bit after that, which is a good movie. It's a David Wayne movie. That's good stuff. But you, Neighbors, like you said, you know, it's not a movie where I would say rush out to the theater. Right. If you're looking for a good comedy, if you want to laugh now, hey, you know, it's worth a matinee, I'd say. Otherwise, Redbox it. Maybe on an airplane. Airplane's a good time to check out.
Definitely
movie.
See it.
Yeah. No, but it's definitely worth checking out at definitely some point somehow for sure. Absolutely. All right. So let's see. New movies coming out on DVD this week. We have finally the movie we've all been waiting for. We can all watch at home together. I'm going to have a big party. Invite everyone over. You get a bunch of pizzas, a bunch of beers. We're going to have a great time. We're all going to watch I, Frankenstein.
Oh, no.
I hate you.
Oh, no. I think I'm sick.
I'm going to murder you, I'm going to murder you when you sleep, and I'm going to bury your body
the day before Drew does that as well.
Okay, I'll be sick that day.
He's going to be sick, and remember, we never had this conversation. I never said I was going to kill Chris, so when you know he's just not around, it had nothing to do with me.
Just delete the last 13 seconds.
Yep.
And control, alt, and delete. Okay, edit. I, Frankenstein comes out, and yeah, it does look. It looks like the worst. It looked like the worst movie, and it didn't have a single review that would maybe be like, oh, maybe there is something worthwhile.
There was
about
nothing
this.
Like when they started talking about it. I'm like, why are they doing this?
It was the next logical monster.
Frankenstein is the next logical monster. We've talked about on the show before, where it went zombies, vampires, witches. What's next? Because witches are starting to die already. They snuck werewolves in there and it did nothing. They had to pair them with the vampires. So we figured Frankenstein's monster's next. And then shortly after we figured that out, I, Frankenstein was announced. And Daniel Radcliffe. He's going to be in a movie where he plays Igor.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I bet you there's gonna be a sexy Frankenstein in that too. Probably. And Aaron Eckhart was solely sexy Frankenstein. Yeah, he walks around all like in the club and shit and all.
Yeah, he's like a
stuff.
Descendant of Frankenstein.
Yeah, yeah. No. I think it's Frankenstein somehow lived throughout all the time, but maybe he got plastic surgery to make him look better. Like he cut his hair and then all of a sudden.
Because I could have sworn that they said it was a descendant. I'm like, wait a minute, that's not a trait.
It doesn't even make any
along.
Sense.
Yeah.
I'm like, you're
undead
created.
Things.
Isn't like, oh, my dad was Frankenstein, and I've been a Frankenstein, and my son will be a Frankenstein too. This isn't like the trait.
No.
Yeah,
they're making it like the last name Frankenstein is blacksmith. Like, this is what my father did.
Yeah.
This is what I did.
I am a Frankensteiner. I am a Steiner of Franks. it does look absolutely horrible. But, you know, with it coming out, maybe I'll wait for HBO.
Frankenstein was the doctor, not the monster.
No, shh.
Frankenstein's monster.
That's what it says on all the costumes. All the Halloween costumes say Frankenstein.
Why would they make Frankenstein's monster?
Yeah, it's fucking stupid. But when it hits HBO and I can watch it without having to spend any money, I'm going to fucking watch that shit. I'm going to see what did they do wrong.
Yeah,
because you know they did.
At some point, I'd probably see and catch it.
There's, you know, you can learn.
It'd be an accident.
You can learn more from watching a bad movie than you can from watching a good movie. At least on how, you know, a good movie is made, you can learn more from bad movies. Like, well, fucking don't do this. Don't do this, and you'll be fine. Also coming out, can't wait, finally, Sweet Jesus, I've been waiting for this one with that awkward moment.
Oh, man. I know you have been looking forward to that movie. Yeah, that bromantic comedy.
The bromance of three bro dudes who are like,
Bro,
I know your chick dumped you, bro, but we're going to go get laid, bro. Let's go
and then
out.
Then we're going to eat some ice cream, bro.
Let's eat some ice cream and some Viagra and get laid, bro. And let's wear our finest scarves and go walking down the sidewalk together.
Bro.
Side by side. It looks really bad.
Yeah.
It looks stupid.
Awful.
It does have Michael B. Jordan and Miles Teller.
Both very good guys.
Both good actors. And then it's got that Zac Efron guy. Who's that?
And Imogen Poots.
I just like saying Imogen Poots.
I know. Imogen she has Poots. A funny name.
Imogen. When I was watching 3 Days to Hell, every time she was on screen, yep. I wasn't even listening. I was just thinking in my head, Imogen Poots. Imogen Poots. I just couldn't get her name
out. That's all I could think of is that's what she does.
Yep.
Yeah.
Poots. Her name Poots. Is what she does.
Yeah, yeah. It's pretty weird. It's pretty weird. And also coming out on DVD is some movie called Her.
Did you guys watch it?
My favorite movie of 2013.
Mine too.
I keep hearing that and I'm like, I need to watch it. Yeah. I don't know what it is about Joaquin Phoenix, man. I just can't.
Oh, really? Yeah, really? Did you see The Master? Because he is over the top of that one. Yeah, like that movie made me question his sanity.
Oh, totally. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
I got to try it, man. I got to give him a shot because I've heard he's such a great actor and I've seen a couple things. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, some, just the
well, did you see the Johnny Cash thing?
Yeah, I saw the Johnny Cash thing. Yeah. I saw The Sixth Sense.
That was good.
This stuff.
It's definitely, I mean, he took that break a little while ago where he made that weird mockumentary.
Right, when he was a rapper.
Yeah, yeah. That was all put on anyway, that MC McScruffy beard thing that he did. And that David Letterman appearance where he's trying to be all standoffish. Yeah. That was all put on by him. Now he's back to acting again for real. And between The Master and Her, I mean, the dude is, one of our best actors. Because he's able to reach like some emotional depths and convey some stuff that's like damn, I'm feeling what's going on up there.
Because I've heard people talking about it, especially a lot of people tell me about the sex scene where you get the surrogate.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, like, that's really? A crazy scene.
That was a messed up scene. Yeah.
Well, like, that's the thing about the movie because
the sex scene with just the black and the voices was hotter than that was.
Oh, the phone sex he pretty much has with the AI. The movie, the way, because it's all about how the dude falls in love with the voice of his AI, his operating system.
Right.
And it sounds weird when you just say that. And it's like all these questions come up. Well, what about this? What about that? What about sex? What would other people think? What happens here? What happens
all
here?
Answered.
It's all answered throughout the movie. The movie is very logical in the way it approaches such a possible relationship and how it would happen in society. That's what makes it so like damn, this is really they really thought it out. It wasn't like someone came up with a crazy idea and then just shat something out. Like Spike Jones fucking wrote a damn good story, you know. Okay. So it's definitely worth it. It might be the one to get you into Joaquin Phoenix. I would say see that before The Master.
Oh yeah, if you see The Master, you might not want to watch Joaquin
Phoenix
anymore.
The Master is like so arty over the top. Your girlfriend's gonna hate that. Your girl's gonna hate that one. Let me tell you for sure. Drew, what's coming out in theaters?
Out in theaters this weekend. I mean, there's this movie called Million Dollar Arm.
The John Hamm movie, Disney movie.
Blah,
have you seen any questions for that one at all?
I haven't seen anything.
Do you like baseball movies at all?
Not really.
No, well then she ain't gonna like that one.
I still want to see. Was it the one with Brad Pitt and
Moneyball?
Moneyball.
Still want to see Moneyball.
That's a good one.
I've seen so many clips of it. I understand what happens in it. I understand the concept.
Yeah.
But just to sit down and watch it, I'm like, it's a baseball.
You know, I think that's one where because of it's all about the mechanics of behind the scenes that I think even people that don't like baseball would appreciate all that stuff. Because it's not so much about playing the game as it's about managing the business of baseball and the wheeling and dealing and the relationships and stuff.
My kind of baseball movies are like the John Goodman Babe Ruth movie.
Hell yeah.
That's a baseball movie. Yeah, Babe. Sandlot is my kind of baseball movie.
I love Sandlot.
That's
so
about
good.
It. That's the,
Major you know, League? Major League.
Yeah, well, that kind of thing where it's more of the...
That's a comedy about a bunch of dudes. They just happen to be playing baseball.
Yeah, but it's like this draft pick movie thing. And same thing, and it's not... It's football, but...
Oh, Draft Day. That looked like a fake movie.
And like, I don't care.
Yeah,
made a movie about the draft.
Not only about a draft, they made a movie about the Cleveland Browns making their draft pick. Right. Like, could you pick the worst team? I would rather see a movie about the Jaguars trying to mow the lawn of their fucking the field, you know, than the Browns making a draft pick.
The only reason I'm actually probably gonna watch it now is that the Browns actually did that. apparently, during the draft.
Well, they got
it's
that.
It's based on true story.
They did go.
They just did it in the recent one.
Well, no, the draft just happened now. They came out after.
They just kind of played, did the whole, the exact moves as if they said, well, this worked in the movie.
They like traded out, and then they traded up, and they got Manziel deeper than anyone else. Yeah, that's true. They maybe saved a couple bucks.
Now I want to see them like, really? That worked? Like, maybe, nobody else saw this coming? Nobody else watched the movie?
Maybe they saw the movie. Maybe they saw the movie.
They're like, oh,
I got it.
Idea.
We're taking a field trip to the movie theater. Market research. All right, Drew, what else is coming out?
You know, this tiny little movie called Godzilla.
Woo! Godzilla. Can't wait. I cannot wait.
I'm still scorned from the Godzilla 2000.
You know what?
Well,
I definitely understand that, but it's like a completely different group of people.
Exactly.
The people making this Godzilla, they were just as burned as you were.
They have nothing to do with Puff Daddy.
No.
There is going to be no Led Zeppelin covers of Kashmir
with
Puff Daddy saying, come with me on top of it.
There won't be Matthew Broderick looking at Manhattan and being like, it's a perfect place to hide. No, it's not. An island with buildings is not the perfect place to hide for a giant lizard monster. It doesn't make any sense.
Like Walter White and Godzilla.
Yep.
Is that going to work?
I do like Walter White.
I love the guy.
Walter White and Kick-Ass. And the third Olsen twin. That's not a twin.
From the guy who directed Monsters.
Monsters. Have you seen Monsters?
And apparently Darabont helped on the script.
On the script?
On the script.
On the script as
on the
well.
Script.
The script and the script.
And the script.
Scripts and scrimps. There's a movie on Netflix called Monsters. It's a low-budget movie about a dude and a chick. It's in the future where, like a near future, mm-hmm. where there's already been an alien like spaceship crash-landed on Earth in Mexico. And they managed to quarantine Mexico, so Mexico is now a wasteland of just alien monsters roaming around. And there's a dude and a chick they have to get from Central America to the United States. And the only way they can go is like walking through the forbidden, like closed out quarantine zone where all the monsters are, all the aliens. And it's a very low budget movie, but still done like great way
really
all the
well.
Monsters are done.
Are they like wild monsters or is it like District 9 monsters where they've all decided, well, let's all live together. Let me help you.
No, wild.
These are wild monsters. Like
they roam around like destroying stuff.
Yeah.
You don't want
to
get caught.
Like imagine you're on another planet and there's something akin to a tiger over there and it falls on Earth and it's just a wild animal running around, but it's from another planet.
And there's a bunch of them too. So like at one point they're going down the river and they see a jet fighter that's crash landed in the water and tentacles like slowly wrap around it and then pull it underwater. And then they're like, keep the boat moving, keep the boat moving.
Get out of the water.
Yeah. Okay. So that guy, that was his last movie. I think that was actually his first movie. And based on that, they gave him, I don't know how many hundreds of million dollars to do Godzilla. Like, we're going to give you the most iconic of monsters based on this little movie.
I've got to check it out then, because that's a lot of money to throw at somebody.
Just for that one thing. Yeah, it's very impressive. And I think the trailers look pretty good. And getting ready for it, I just watched Cloverfield earlier today.
Yes, we did.
So very good. Cloverfield's great. Get that big monster. I want to get some big monsters going on.
You know, the second time I watched Cloverfield, though, I questioned whether I loved the marketing or the actual movie.
Oh, well, no, it was great marketing. I was thinking about that today.
It was brilliant marketing. I thought about it. I'm like, the movie monster, once you see the monster, it doesn't pay off the way I was hoping it would. It doesn't give me that feeling like, that's amazing.
The design of the monster isn't that. It actually looks a lot like the one in Super 8, you know? Maybe you can just point to a J.J. Abrams reference there. Right. Maybe that's his whole thing. That's how he likes his monsters to look. All bad robots.
I've read before where people try and connect it. People try and connect Super 8 to Cloverfield. Say there's some kind of connection there. But everything that J.J. Abrams does, people try and go make a connection. They're like, it's all connected, and then somehow it leads to Lost.
Yes, exactly. I remember when Cloverfield came out, people were like looking for all the Lost stuff in there.
It's the smoke monster. That's what it is.
Fuck you guys, man. It has nothing to do with Lost. Yeah. I watched that. Watching The Mist now. Right. I took a break from watching that so we can do this. Watching the black and white version of The Mist, which is so much better than the color.
That actually looks really cool. The Mist is a great movie, but seeing the black and white.
It's so much creepier in black and white.
It's weird. It's creepier. A lot of the effects, the CG effects, which do look pretty wonky in color, some of it looks better in black and white.
Right.
Especially the gore when someone gets like all torn up and instead
it's
of the weird red, it's all black and stuff. Right. Yeah, it looks really creepy. And then later, you know, if you got time, I'm thinking about I'm going to watch The Host, the South Korean movie The Host. Have you seen that one? That's about an amphibious monster that's in the river in South Korea. And one day it comes up out of the river and there's a bunch of people in a park. and it just attacks the park and it starts attacking people and it takes one girl. Oh, that's a good one.
I was thinking, what was the one about it was the bay that I'm thinking where I really wanted to watch that, and then I never watched it.
It ended up being like an environmental thing. Yeah, like the water was contaminated and made everyone sick. But the way they made the trailer, it made it look like the water was making everyone into monsters or vampires or something.
Once I heard, oh, it's an environmental kind of movie, I'm like,
yeah.
You lost me.
Yeah, exactly.
You lost me.
Actually, the bay has some moments in there that's like pretty damn good, but overall, I'd say.
Not for the most part.
Yeah. Anyway, okay, so yeah, Monster Sunday, we're going to keep moving on. Let's take a quick break here. We got some stuff to do. Got a song here for the Crespo Disco. Have you seen the trailer for Edge of Tomorrow? The Tom Cruise movie where...
Yes.
And he dies like 200 times in a battle. And it's,
It
looks pretty good. It doesn't seem like... I might be wrong, but does it seem like... It seems new. Like a new idea to me. Like the concept, I'm like, okay, I haven't seen that done
before. Well, it seems it's Groundhog Day because he has to live the same day over and over.
I guess you're right.
But
it's an action Groundhog Day.
Action Groundhog. How did I describe it last time? I think it was Groundhog Day meets the first 20 minutes of Saving Private Ryan.
Yes.
Because it's like it's just a battle at the beach. Yeah. Imagine going storming the beach, you die, you wake up, and you're back on the
boat.
You're
back on the
boat. You're like, God damn it, I gotta do this again. apparently, Tom Cruise dies like 200 times in this movie. Nice. So for people that don't like Tom Cruise, they should go see the movie.
Tom Cruise dies a bunch.
You gotta watch him die over and over and over. But there's a song in that trailer, This Is Not the End. And it's kind of a remix of it with like they had a beat in there. It's pretty cool. But I got the original one here by Fieldwork. I figured, hey, you know what? If we play music for movies, why not play music from a movie trailer?
Yeah.
Let's expand a bit. So there you go. We'll play that. We'll be back with the second half of the show. I got a bunch of stories. I got a 1, 2, 3. I got a whole bunch of questions. We got a Crespo, Drew Cogburn versus the world. Got a lightning round. We got a ton to do. So listen to the song, guys, and we'll be back in a minute.
this is not the end. This is not the end. This is not the end. No. This is not the end. This is not the end.
Yes, thank you, Space Satan, for welcoming us back to the Crespo Dome. Back to the Crespo Dome.
You said it this time.
I did.
You said it this time. You said back to it this time. We just got here for the first time, but now we're back. I do that all the time.
Damn it.
And Drew calls me out on it this time. We did it for real.
I did it this time.
Did it for real. Welcome to the second half of episode 70 of Cinema Crespediso. I'm still your host, Christopher Crespo. Still here with Drew Stakogber.
Yeah,
Drew,
what's up?
And our guest, Chico.
Yes, I am.
How you doing, buddy?
Enjoying this, man. Enjoying this.
Thanks. Thanks for coming on. We really appreciate it. We love having guests.
I love the studio, the way you've got all the movie stuff right
now. Ah, yes.
It's the studio room.
We got the Vertigo poster. That's actually the Italian, a reproduction of the Italian Vertigo poster. If you look closely, nothing's in English.
Nope.
Got the Prestige poster. We love that movie.
Yes.
Rocky is one of my absolute favorite movies of all time. For that.
Have you done that? You done the steps?
No, I have not. I've been to Philadelphia since I was like 7 or 8.
Did you see the picture Billy sent you on Instagram?
Our homeboy, our New York City show correspondent, Billy D, was in Philadelphia recently on a business trip.
This guy right here. This guy.
He's wearing a space shirt.
I'm wearing a t-shirt. That's his face. That's Bill.
That's Billy.
He's got his own shirt.
Yeah, he does.
He has his own shirt. You can contact him.
I need my own shirt.
Exactly. You do need your own shirt. You can contact Billy on Twitter at ILoveBlood if you want your own space face Billy shirt. I call that...
it is
space face. I call it Billy screaming Billy through space. Is what I call that. he was just he was just in Philly, and he took a picture of. There's a plaque right outside. I guess it's outside those steps, and it says
it's on that spot.
Yeah. And it says here stands here stood Sylvester Stallone while making the great. And it says he was Rocky like 1977.
That's
whatever.
One of my favorite movies of all time.
Apparently, it's right there, like on that spot where he's standing.
About 2 years
poster.
Ago, I actually went to Philly on a business thing.
Nice.
I made sure to leave enough time between, because it was a fly in, do a meeting,
and then fly out. The hell out. Yeah,
but
yeah.
I made sure to put like a 2 hour buffer because I wanted to do the steps and get a Philly cheesesteak.
There you go.
And so I left it. I didn't get to do my flight got canceled, so I had to rush to the airport to get I didn't get a Philly cheesesteak.
Oh, but he did the important part.
I did the steps. I got pictures. I got some. Apparently, there's a bum that hangs out by the statue.
Yeah.
That is the quote unquote official photo taking ambassador.
Oh, okay. Very nice.
What a genius.
And he's like,
smart
I'll take
man.
A picture for you.
Drop
them some cash.
For a dollar. Yep. Yeah.
I was by myself, so he snapped the pictures for me. I ran the steps, damn near passed out when I got to the top. It is a long way, dude.
Yeah, dude.
It is a long way.
Did you see Rocky Balboa?
Yeah.
Do you remember during the final credits of the movie, they just show people just running up the steps and they're videotaping them? Apparently, when they were there filming on the steps, and people didn't know they were there. People run those steps all the time.
I wasn't the only one there doing it. There was other people.
But you were just running?
Just running. And I have video on it because I tried to videotape myself doing it. And all the video is great because it's just shaky.
Yeah.
That's all you hear. And that was up. I'm trying to videotape. I did it.
Yeah, you're more like Rocky at the beginning when he first made the run. And he could barely. He's like holding his side.
It's
and
oh, impressive. The side stitch.
It's not poster Rocky with his arms up in the air.
But it is still pretty awesome. I've always wanted to do one of those movie trips where you go see certain things, go to certain spots.
Algeria? Right? Algeria? Is that where we need to go, Chris?
Algeria?
Tatooine?
Oh, no. Maybe. It's, Tatooine is in Malta? No. Malta is where the Popeye set is.
Yeah.
Which is still there. The Popeye
the
movie?
The Popeye set is still there?
Yeah, it's still in Malta. Yeah.
I've got to. That's one of my favorite films.
That's an amazing one to go to. But Tatooine? Where's Tatooine? Tatooine?
I thought
it was
in Algeria.
No, it's in Tunisia. It's in the Tunis Desert. Tatooine, the original set for Tatooine that they built, still there.
Still there, too?
Still there.
That's what's cool about it being still there.
Yes.
I heard you can go to Seattle and get a lot of spots done.
Oh,
a lot of movies in Seattle, there's a lot of spots, but it's
obviously
Seattle.
In New York City or LA, you can do that all day.
But those would be cooler.
You can do that here in Orlando. There's one spot that I love that I see every day. Every time I look at it, I'm like, yes, this happened here. Lethal Weapon 3. The opening of Lethal Weapon 3.
I was there.
You were there?
When they bloated the courthouse.
Yes.
I was out there.
There you go. You were there.
And it was a lot bigger than they thought it would be because we were, where they had cordoned off for us, we got covered in like this dust. And my dad was like, come on. My dad, because I was a kid still, and my dad's trying to get me out of there.
Yeah, you don't want to
be
all that
stuff. And I thought it was great.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, that's an old building. We got to go.
Asbestos, all sorts of
nasty stuff.
I remember that because it took out all the windows in the new. The new city hall.
Yeah, behind it. Yeah,
it took out all the windows because they did it all. Whoever set it up like added way too much.
Oopsie.
Stuff.
Well, apparently they weren't that smart because a friend of the show, Tom the Beer Guy, Orange Blossom Pilsner, shout out to OBP, sponsor of the show.
What?
Love OBP.
OBP is delicious.
Oh, it's so good.
He worked in production back in the day, and he was there too working.
He was working that day.
He said he was carrying bags of gasoline throughout the building and setting them up for the imploding process, and he said it was not safe the way they were doing it for sure.
That sounds horrible.
He was bringing bags of gasoline right past Mel Gibson. Hey, how's it going? Hopefully this won't blow in your face while we're standing right here.
Don't get none on you, man.
huge star that insured for millions by the film company. That's one of my favorite spots. So locally, you can go see that.
The Sonoya, Georgia. Sonora, Georgia is where they film so many films. That was Woodbury for The Walking Dead.
So we
stayed in a bed and breakfast. But if you walk through that city on the floor, they've got little plaques that, Fried Green Tomatoes was here.
Oh.
All these movies that were filmed in there.
Nice.
And so it's a nice little, you can't really see much because they've changed a lot of things now for Woodbury.
Because
it pretty much is all Woodbury set up.
Right.
The actual city hall for Woodbury, I got a picture in front of it. It's just a set. It's a prop.
It's
literally just the front, the facade. There's nothing in there.
And then you look behind it and it's like,
it's just pieces of 2x4 holding it up.
It's a lot like, for a while, when they were shooting Breaking Bad in Albuquerque, you could go to Pollos Hermanos.
Yeah.
You go there, and it's just a taco place where they put a Pollos Hermanos sign on the outside, so you go in and you can get some tacos.
At least it's a working place.
It is a working place. Exactly. Yeah.
I thought, it'd be cool. Let's go around the back and see what it looks like. And it was just
and then it's just a
flat. But the city loves it. The city loved it. That you can meet all the extras. All the extras
work it
like they are full-time celebrities. You'll see the extras with their signed 8x10s of them as a zombie.
Yeah.
I'm like, this literally could be anybody. I could be there saying, this is me.
This is me.
I'll find a zombie that kind of close to resemble.
That's a good idea. Yeah. Big production upstairs. I'm going to move to locally, outside of Lethal Weapon 3, you can also go to College Park, and right around like where Gabriel Subs is, like right across the street, they filmed a scene for Ernest Saves Christmas there. Because Ernest Saves Christmas was shot in Orlando, so they definitely shot some there. You can see Gabriel's in one shot. Might have been the Church Street station that they shot it for a train station sequence. And then whatever the old Orlando Science Center is, or the old Orlando Children's Museum is what it was, is where they shot it. This is back in 88, so most of the stuff isn't there anymore, and then what else? Oh, Larry the Cable Guy, Health Inspector, was shot here.
Everywhere,
Everywhere,
because where that hot dog, that giant
hot dog. Yeah, the giant hot dog.
I don't know where that is now. It used to be
on 50.
Yeah, right on 50.
I think it's gone.
I've seen it driving around every once in a while.
Oh, it's mobile?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. They just drag it around.
Please. Larry the cable guy ate her.
Yeah. So, yeah, there you go. Looking for stuff locally, you got all of that. Okay, well, plugs. Let's get the plugs out of the way. Drew, where can people find you online?
At antihero419 on Instagram and Twitter.
And, of course, you can go to chriscrespo.com and check us out on facebook.com/cinemacrespiso.
Fuck you, I don't want to be your friend on Facebook.
Okay, Instagram. Well, no, that's not a friend. That's when you're a fan of the community of Cinema Crespedito. I don't know how Facebook works. Instagram, find us there on Cinema Crespedito. Hit up the show on Twitter at Crespedito. Hit me up on Twitter at I am Chris Crespo. Chico, tell us real quick about Answer Pants.
Answer Pants, rampantradio.com. Answer Pants is a hour and a half to 2 hour show, mm-hmm. depending on how we feel, every Monday. Mm-hmm.
Live.
Pretty much, it's kind of, it was originally more of an interview show.
Oh, really?
We've kind of turned into just a kind of talk every single thing you can think of.
Yeah.
Depending on the day, it's anything from vaporizing to trannies.
Sweet.
Which is not appropriate anymore.
Yeah, apparently you can't use that word anymore.
Or you can talk about how it's not appropriate.
There you go.
We'll probably end up talking about that too.
And then it's been a good half hour talking about it. I like the show a lot. I listen all the time. It's a great show. I think you guys got a really cool dynamic. The guy who started the show,
Jason,
he's not there anymore, right?
I've sat in before when Jason was there, back when I was doing another podcast.
Which was...
The Experience.
And The Experience was like around the same time as SomaCow, right?
SomaCow.
And that was when, like, I mean, podcasting was baby form. Yeah. No one was doing it.
Right.
We're talking about like maybe 5-6 years ago?
Yeah, it was about 5-6 years ago.
Yeah, so that's like pioneering.
It was pretty good too. I mean, it was an enjoyable run because I felt like it was back in a time, I was talking about this the other day. Podcasts don't really talk to each other anymore. You
know, right.
If you're not in a certain group where, you know, you guys and SPK Live, they don't mix.
Right.
Everybody doesn't seem all buddy-buddy anymore.
Which is what, like, I'm kind of trying to, on Twitter, I'm trying to, like, you know, tweet out all the different shows. Because you're right, there are a bunch of different shows.
There's a lot of them.
We could all join forces and put together a whole convention, a whole thing.
Oh, good Lord.
That was when SomaCow used to have, they had a charity run.
They still do.
Cure for the Run.
We're
signed up for it this year.
They're still going to do it. We're corrupting the kids.
Right.
Because
I think they're bringing it back.
Mickey, right? He was with SomaCow, and he told us sometime last year when he was on our show.
Yeah. He said they did it last year. I guess they're going to do it again this year, and they asked if we were interested in going.
Yeah, I'd definitely.
We said we were down. Yeah. So
it was a lot of fun, man. It was like the podcasting convention.
And that's what he said.
These people. Yeah. It was like afterwards, everybody's having drinks. It was great. It was a really cool experience.
That's cool. So hopefully we can get that going again. You know,
that'd be awesome.
That would be really cool. Like I said, I love Answer Pants. Rampant Radio, super cool.
Yeah, you can check us out on Twitter, Rampant Radio.
Yes.
On Twitter, Answer_Pants.
Yes.
You can find me everywhere that matters at This Is Chico.
This is Chico. I am Chris Crespo, but this is Chico.
That's right.
All right, there you go. That works out pretty well. Yeah. All right, very cool, guys. So there you go. If you haven't heard Answer Pants yet, check it out. You got yourself a whole new podcast, and you're like at episode 100-something, too.
150-something.
So, guys, I mean, if you like this show, you have literally hundreds and hundreds of hours of show to get down on.
Hundreds of hours. I'm not sure if hundreds of hundreds.
2 hours, 170?
Oh, yeah. 200 would be hundreds of hundreds.
Hundreds of hundreds. Bitch. Math, motherfucker. I hate math. All right. Let's get into some movie news. There's a lot going on in the movie world here. Let's see. Let me, of course, if I was prepped properly, I would have this ahead of time, but I'm... Oh, snap. I didn't even get to the movie news yet.
Burr, burr.
Here we go.
Where's the song, Chris? Come on. You gotta sing it.
Versus the world. Here we go.
We just need to record you singing that song.
No, I gotta do it live.
You gotta do it live.
I gotta do it live.
So it's different every time.
Different every time. It's art. It's living art, is what it is.
I'm not sure if it's art, but okay,
close enough though.
Thank you.
Somebody,
thank you.
Somebody will consider it art.
You're right. Somebody will. Someone will also consider my feces spread on a canvas art. So.
Exactly. Absolutely.
Which is where once you realize that, you realize that you are not making enough money.
Yes, exactly.
Because if you haven't actually sold your feces on a canvas, you are not capitalizing on what is you.
You are in the wrong field. Drew, so far in 6 games this year, you are 5-1. After going 500 last year, this year you're kicking ass. So Chico, this man's a steamroller. Beware.
I am. Turn it up this year.
The name of this week's game is Nick, Steve, or Sly. I named a movie. You tell me who started it. Nicolas Cage, Steven Seagal, or Sylvester Stallone?
Right.
Okay, so Drew, since you won last week, you get the choice, Group A or Group B.
Let's go with Group A this time around.
Group A, okay, here we go. I tell you the title, you tell me who started it. Nicolas Cage, Steven Seagal, or Sylvester Stallone. Here we go. Number 1, Flight of Fury. And no, there's not going to be a single.
I know. There's not going to be Rocky.
No.
Exactly.
Okay, here we go.
Let's go with. That sounds like it could be Steven Seagal.
That is correct. Steven Seagal. Number two, Force of Execution.
I love the names of these movies. okay. Let's go Nick Cage with that one.
That is incorrect. It's another Steven Seagal. Number three, Avenging Angelo.
Sly.
That is Sylvester Stallone, correct. Number four, Trespass.
Nick Cage.
That is correct, with Nicole Kidman, horrible film. And number five, Lock Up.
Sly.
That is correct. Four out of five. Drew, man.
The only reason why I said Nick Cage on the second one, because I didn't... I'm playing like Curtis Earth trivia style. I'm like, there's no way Chris is going to give me two Steven Seagals in a row, so it's got to be the other one. And he does it.
I did give you two Seagals in a row. Okay, Chico, you're going to have to get all five to win. Four to tie. And we do have a tiebreaker. So here we go.
Avoid those movies.
Chris learned his lesson.
Steven Seagal I try to avoid now.
The recent stuff. You know.
Oh, God, they're so bad.
Definitely won't blame anyone for ignoring him after 1994. Six?
Whatever movie was on a ship. I haven't watched anything since.
Under Siege?
Under Siege.
What about Under Siege 2?
Yeah. I didn't watch it. Which one was the one with Eric Alien actually pops out of the...
Under Siege.
Under Siege.
Under Siege. So that's the first one, right?
Yeah.
Okay,
yep.
Yeah. I didn't anything after
that.
I'm like, that's it. It's not going to get better than this.
No executive decision?
Oh, executive decision. Yeah. He dies in that one.
I was hung in that movie for like 10 seconds.
I never considered that his movie.
It's definitely a stunt casting thing for sure. Okay, number one. Here we go. Steven Seagal, Nick Cage, or Sylvester Stallone. You ready?
Yeah.
All right. Out of Reach.
Nick Cage.
Ooh, Steven Seagal. You're going to have to run the table from here on out. Here we go. Number two, Fist. And it's actually an acronym, F-I-S-T, Fist is the name of the title.
Man, Steven Seagal.
Oh, yeah, Sylvester Stallone. Here we go. Number three, Next.
Jeez, what is this one word?
Drew says he was showing off his
Nick Cage.
That is correct. Nick Cage. That's one of his
awful movies.
That magician that can see 2 seconds into the future.
Such an awful movie.
So stupid. Number four, Into the Sun.
I remember that one. One of those three. I'm thinking Bruce Willis.
Tears of the Sun. I can see the movie poster in my head.
That's funny. And Tom Fuqua. No, that's Into the Sun.
Sylvester.
Steven Seagal. It's actually one of his better direct-to-video ones, I gotta say. It's actually worth checking out. And number five, Red Rock West.
That's Sylvester Stallone.
That is a Nicolas Cage movie, yeah, from 1993. So you only got one out of five. Wow. Drew Sikaiber wins again. Good job, Drew.
Good showing, sir.
The tiebreaker was going to be a closest to the pin. How much did Cliffhanger make in the U.S. box office?
Ooh, let's go 42 million.
He says 42. Chico?
In the box office?
Yep.
I think it did pretty well, maybe 64.
It made 84 million.
Oh,
so
there
got
we go.
That right. Yeah. But Drewster Cogburn, again, you are now 6-1. Goddamn,
I'm tearing up.
Maybe you will one day.
I don't know why that movie did so well. Why did Cliffhanger do?
It's not a bad movie.
It's pretty good. But for a not bad movie, it's pretty bad.
Yeah, no, I mean, the entire movie is just Sylvester Stallone trying not to fall off a mountain.
Right,
yeah,
it's like
with Michael Rooker.
Yeah.
Well, and wasn't
and John Lithgow.
Yeah.
John
Lithgow. Oh, John Lithgow's a bad guy. I forgot about
that. That's what it was. Is John Lithgow and Sylvester Stallone. You're like, okay, this could work.
I think that's enough to get people in.
God,
theaters.
This is
yeah.
bad.
Yeah.
But if it was on right now, I'd watch it again.
You know what?
It was an even worse video game. I had it on the Super Nintendo. I don't know why or how, I had it and I played it and it was so awful.
What did you do?
Awful.
Did you just
hang on. One, I think one of the level. No, it was kind of like an action game. All right, so you're Sylvester Stallone. Like, yeah, you have to climb mountains, but there are guys trying to kill you, so you got to shoot them too. I remember one of the levels you were on like the wires and you had to like go up to one wire and then go up to the next one. It's a side-scrolling platformer,
so
there's only so much you could do.
Right,
God. It was awful.
It sounds bad. It sounds like the worst. Okay, here we go. I finally got the story up. Okay, have you ever seen the movie The Room? Or have you heard of The Room?
I'm trying to think if I've seen it. There's a lot of movies I've seen that are just like throwaway movies.
Right, well, this one, you would remember The Room, if you, especially if you sat through the whole thing. No?
Who's in it?
Nobody would know.
Really? No, there.
The Room came out in 2000. Doesn't even say in here. I don't think it does. It came out like 2005, 2006, something like that. The Room is a very low budget movie by writer director Tommy Wiseau, who he's a weird cat. This guy.
2003.
Okay, so it came out in 2003, and then slowly it gained a reputation in Los Angeles as one of the most incompetent movies ever made. But really? That still got made and put out, right? And it got a cult following, like Rocky Horror Picture Show style, where wow. all throughout L.A., and they still do this to this day.
There is actually a Love is Blind, The Room tour going on right now for the 11th anniversary.
Wow.
See, there's a tour going on for the movie, right?
Yep.
They have like midnight showings, weekly showings. There's theaters that have programmed weekly, monthly showings of this movie, and people show up every time to see it. It's a cult phenomenon. And in this article, someone, I think it was this one I saw, someone had the best description of this movie. Here we go. Quote,
you've seen it.
Oh, I've seen it. Oh, I had to see it. It's so bizarre.
No, I have not seen it. But apparently, I'm sitting here on the Google. All I put in was The Room. Apparently, 2 days ago, according to Entertainment Weekly, James Franco might play Tommy Wiseau in a film based on The Disaster Artist.
That's why I'm bringing this whole thing up here, dude. That's why I'm bringing it up. In this article, probably the same article you're looking at there. Here's a quote about the movie The Room. Someone described it as, "It is the movie an alien who has never seen a movie might make after having had movies thoroughly explained to him."
Explained, but never seen.
Right. He never saw a movie. Someone explains what a movie is, and then he made it. That's The Fucking Room. It is weird as shit, dude. Wow. And incompetent and hysterical. In the first 15 minutes of the movie, there are two sex scenes featuring this guy, Tommy Wiseau, who's just the weirdest looking guy. That's his face. All right, he's got a really intense face, the super long hair, and he has this like crazy
takes himself too seriously,
and he has this crazy like old man ripped body where he's like ripped, but he's old man ripped,
so
you know,
like saggy muscles.
Yeah, it's a little saggy.
Like he's ripped as hell, but they're not quite up.
Right?
It's gravity like, is pulling
his,
on him.
His skin has lost elasticity.
He is battling age and gravity. The two sex scenes, it's mostly his ass pumping up and down for the most part. It's great. Horrible. The acting is terrible. They do things in the movie like they have a scene that's all shot. It takes place on the roof of a building, of an apartment building. They green screened it. They had a set of a rooftop and they put green screen around it to put in the background instead of just going up to the top of a fucking building. And then later they had to shoot stuff inside, but they had to make it. They had to shoot it outside, but they had to make it look like it was inside. Like they did everything just ass backwards. Uh-huh. It is incredible. The movie's now legendary to the point where one of the actors, this dude named Greg Sestero, he wrote a book that he's getting ready to put out about the making of The Room and how weird it was. And like he mentioned, James Franco is going to play the writer-director of The Room in a movie that's about the making of this weird-ass movie.
I can see that guy as James Franco.
James Franco, yeah. When he saw the picture.
James Franco's a weird dude.
He's got that look.
Right? The movie's going to be called The Disaster Artist, and it's actually based on this guy's book, Greg Sestero. So, I just recommend, if you're into at all seeing movies that are just like, if you're into bad movies, you know, stuff that's just like, I can't believe this
like
fucking got
taste.
Made. Yeah, like Bad Taste, you know, stuff like that, or Troll 2, movies like that, you know. Troll 2. Yeah.
The original Leprechaun.
The original, actually, the other Leprechaun sequel is even worse than the original Leprechaun. You ever see a Leprechaun in the Hood?
Holy
cow.
What an awful movie
when
that
Coolio
was.
When Coolio shows up at the church and doesn't even say anything. He shows up and he's in the doorway and he's like, huh? And then he walks off and then they build a movie starring Coolio.
Yeah.
Classic. Classic filmmaking right there. James Franco's going to play The Disaster Artist. Check out The Room, man. And how did James Franco describe this guy? He writes here, he described Tommy Wiseau as, quote, part vampire, part Hollywood dreamer, part gangster, part Ed Wood, and super lonely.
Well, when he's part all of those things, it makes sense why he's super lonely, Chris.
Yeah.
Because none of those things are attractive to females.
Franco likened The Disaster Artist to two Paul Thomas Anderson films. Boogie Nights and its focus on a group of optimistic outsiders trying to be artistic with a project that defies all artistic pretensions, and The Master with its arrangement around a bizarre mental pupil relationship. I guess it's going to be then the writer, director, and the actor, and how their relationship between the two of them. Oh. And then apparently, recently, James Franco put a picture of himself on Instagram almost naked.
Yeah, I saw something about that.
Okay.
See, I've seen what he's been doing lately.
Why?
Seems very much like Joaquin Phoenix, that whole trying to like gain
notoriety
push.
For being overly weird.
I would agree, but I'm pretty sure that Franco is genuinely fucking weird. he is a weird
he
guy.
He does come across
but
as...
Isn't that what he does really... besides the stuff that he does mainstream, if you go on the internet and look at some of the things that he does that's not mainstream...
His, like, art galleries and stuff.
He is a big fucking weirdo.
Yeah, he is.
But isn't that the same thing? Like, the same thing I thought about Joaquin Phoenix. He's just a weird dude.
Yeah.
And then he's like, later on, he's like, it was all, you know, all
well,
an
for,
idea.
For that
then,
was, yeah.
Is that an excuse, though?
Well, yeah.
Like, later on, if Franco comes out, it's like, all that stuff I did was just because I was
trying
to create this persona.
Performance.
No, I don't think he was trying to create... I'm pretty sure James Franco is just a really fucking weird guy.
Yeah, I think it's... I think that's the distinction. I think Phoenix, because he came out and admitted it's a mockumentary, this was all performance art. I think Franco is just really...
No, Franco's just that guy.
He's just that guy.
But if he comes out and says that it was all performance art...
I still don't believe him.
I think, yeah, I wouldn't believe him. Like you said, it'll be him trying to make excuses or trying to be like, oh, no, ignore that weirdness. So it's just, yeah.
No, he really is that weird.
That's where I feel with Joaquin, where I'm like, you're just a weird fucker, dude. I don't believe you. Your agent was smart. Your PR person came out and said, look, it's all performance art.
Yeah. Well,
That whole thing with the
rapping and the David Letterman appearance, that was definitely a put on. Right. But it does come from a place of weirdness and insecurity that does translate into his other work, his quote real work, that I think is pretty evident. That's why, like I said, when I see The Master, he plays a character that's out of his head, that can't be controlled. And as I'm watching the movie, I'm thoroughly convinced that Joaquin Phoenix is definitely like that in ways in real life. That no one could just no one could just act like that. Like this guy is messed
fucking
up.
Weird.
He's fucking weird.
I've got to add all these movies to my phone so I can watch them. I got some homework to do.
You got some homework
some
to do.
Chris, but he's a homework.
Next time you come on, we can talk about all that stuff. Do you have Netflix?
Yes.
Good for you, because they're about to raise that price, yo.
Oh, are they?
I heard.
Netflix makes good on preview price increase. They talked about this a few months ago, and I actually got an email this week confirming it from Netflix. So here we go. This is from Wall Street Journal. Netflix is beginning the price increase that announced during its latest earnings report. New U.S. customers will see a $1 increase. So if you just want the streaming service, instead of $7.99, that's what I'm paying now.
$8.99.
It's the first price increase since 2011. And here's a blurb.
The last time they tried to do it, the world lost its shit.
Because they tried to do way too much. Yeah. That's when they split off streaming and DVD, and they tried to do the Quickster thing. People were like, this is stupid. Then they found out that someone had a Quickster Twitter account, and they were like, we need this Twitter account. This guy's like, this is mine. I have it. You didn't even research the name of your stupid fake company. The reason they wanted to do that, I think Netflix, they wanted to spin off. They wanted to create Quickster as a separate DVD mail service and then sell it off.
Yeah.
Right. And then they wouldn't have to worry about it anymore, because that's what they did with the Roku box. The Roku box was developed as a Netflix-specific box, but then they were like, you know what? Let's just sell this to another company. They'll finish the development of it, and then we'll have an app on it, and then you can access Netflix through it. So that's how Roku came about. Here's what the email I got is here in this article. It said, thanks for being a Netflix member. And I was like, oh, thank you for appreciating that. You know, because I felt that's the thing. When they did that shit before, the huge price hike, because it wasn't incremental. It wasn't a dollar. It was a few bucks. And they split that shit up. So if I wanted to keep my DVDs, I was going to spend an extra like $10, $15 a month. Right. You know, so I dropped that service. At least this time, I feel like they care about me.
No, they're just sucking you in.
They don't care at all.
They are sucking.
They're gonna do it to everybody else. Eventually, you'll get hit with it.
Not eventually.
The price increments.
Not just eventually. In order to continue adding more movies and TV shows, we are increasing their price from $7.99 to $8.99 for new members. As a thank you for being a member of Netflix already, we guarantee that your streaming plan and price will not change for 2 years. So
in 2 years, you take the price.
So we're saving $25, pretty much.
Yep. So they're going to for 2 years with a $1 increase.
And then 2 years, 2 years from now, boom, going up a dollar each month.
Each month?
Yeah.
I bet you it would.
From $7.99 to $8.99.
Because
not a dollar each month. I mean, in 2 years, it'll go from $7.99 to $8.99, and then it's going to sit at $8.99 for a little while.
I don't know how long it'll sit, though. I mean, because they're... Right, I'm thinking about getting rid of cable altogether.
Yeah,
well, I mean, I still
right.
Have,
a lot of people are doing.
I trimmed it down.
I have no premium channels.
I mean, how?
Oh, really? You cut out the HBO and all that?
I cut
stuff?
All the premium channels because I can watch all my movies everywhere else. I have certain other ways of finding my TV shows that I watch.
Of course,
the next
yeah.
day,
sure, yeah,
yeah
of course.
We won't talk about that.
Yeah,
find them the next day, and so I'm fine with that. And I really don't need. I'm still trying to get myself off of watching live TV. That's the problem I still have. Where I like watching. I like just turning on the TV and finding. Oh, look! Like today, what's it called? Tropic Thunder was on.
Oh, there you go.
Well, I was like, I mean, cool. Exactly. Yeah, like yesterday, we watched a marathon of Miami Vice that had just like all the coolest people ever as side characters.
It was a crazy, like an all-star marathon.
Like one episode, Kira Sedgwick was in one.
Liam Neeson did one.
No, Bill Russell was in one.
Bill Russell was in one with Michael Richards from Seinfeld.
Yeah.
Kramer was the bad guy.
Yeah, yeah, Kramer was the bad guy. I mean, the weirdest stuff.
Bill Russell shot Kramer and then killed himself in front of Don Johnson.
Yeah, no, exactly. What the F's going on here?
And that's where it's hard, because you can't catch that stuff. You can't just...
You would have to make the decision. I'm going to sit down and watch Miami Vice stuff.
Exactly,
yeah.
And I wouldn't. If it had Miami Vice TV show, there's so much other stuff in my queue that I'm like...
I feel guilty watching, But then even then, like we were saying, it was on the Esquire network, and they curated a bunch of episodes. So it wasn't just random Miami Vice episodes.
It was
they had the theme going on, where like, here's one with Chris Rock, here's one with Ben Stiller. So it made it fun to like watch.
And they're
going to
have to do that, because right now the theory is
you get people to start watching.
You get Netflix, Hulu, and other sources.
Yeah.
You don't need.
Yeah, there's ways.
All you need is internet. That's all you need.
There's ways to get around the whole live sports thing with just changing your IP address sort of stuff.
Exactly.
You know?
We won't talk about that.
It's all theoretical. We don't do that.
We're not condoning piracy.
Not at all.
But there are ways around all that stuff for sure. For sure. You guys heard about the Sultan of Brunei, all that stuff?
Mm-hmm.
What is it?
You've heard about that?
Mm-hmm.
Sultan of Brunei.
Sultan of Brunei, right? This dude who's one of the richest guys in the world, like disgusting rich. He's a sultan, which means I guess he runs the show over there. Right. And
it's all old oil money. Like their parents had oil.
Exactly. Oh,
well, it was more like... Sultan's more like kingship over there. You know, this family's been ruling for a very long time.
Yeah, somehow they got in charge. They control it all. And then the oil makes them more money.
It just trickles all the way down. They all become Frankenstein.
That gene, man. That Frankenstein gene. He is in a little bit of hot water on the international stage because over in Brunei, just this past week, they implemented Sharia law. Which is that super strict Islamic code of law where, if you're caught stealing, they cut off your hand.
Right.
Adulterers, homosexuals can be sentenced to death by stoning and not the cool stoning.
Nope.
So
it's your head underground.
Your
head above the
pretty
ground.
Pretty much one of the worst ways to be killed.
And they just throw rocks at you until you die.
That just sounds like the worst. So obviously now we're looking at potential human rights abuses in that country now for however long this is set up, the system's in place. So, when stuff like that happens, of course, people want to boycott, make it be known that they won't stand for this type of shit, even though we can't be over there and protest directly. If we were, they'd probably cut off our heads. We do it from afar.
They already set up the law where you can't do it.
Yep. They made that shit illegal. One inventive way of showing that no one's going to stand for this guy's shit, the Sultan of Brunei. He is part of a group that owns the Beverly Hills Hotel.
Okay.
The legendary Beverly Hills Hotel. Uh-huh. It's been there for over 100 years.
Yeah.
Inside the Beverly Hills Hotel, been there for over 70 years, the legendary Polo Lounge.
Okay.
Remember Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas?
Yes.
Where he gets this phone call to get his assignment on the pink phone. Mm-hmm. I think the little person brings that. That place is all owned by a group that is in part controlled by the Sultan of Brunei. So boycott the Beverly Hills Hotel is what's going on. The Hollywood Reporter went to the Polo Lounge on 1 p.m. on a recent work day where the place would normally be packed. With, and I mean like the biggest rollers, your Steven Spielbergs and your Geffens and everyone, your Katzenbergers are all going to the Polo Lounge. Goes there at 1 p.m., place is a ghost town. No one there. The only actor that they saw there that this article points out made me laugh so hard.
They're pointing him out, too.
Yeah, they did, which, I was like, it's great. Star wattage was in short supply, but not completely absent, as a single recognizable actor held court in an outside booth, squeezed between three companions plotting career strategies. It was Dev Patel, star of HBO's The Newsroom and Slumdog Millionaire.
Oh, nice.
That guy. That Indian dude. Here we go. A representative from Patel's camp said the London-based actor was in town on business and was completely unaware of the boycott, adding that he, quote, has no intention of going back there.
Well, there we go.
Yeah, so
he was just in town for a little bit, was like, the Polo Lounge is where we go.
Polo Lounge is where we go.
Right.
Didn't think twice about, this place is a fucking ghost town. That's
whatever.
Weird.
He was probably thinking, it's just must be an off day.
Yeah.
That's crazy, because his character on The Newsroom, his character is very in touch with that stuff.
Like, oh, yeah, totally, 100%.
That's really
he's
funny.
He's completely oblivious to the whole thing.
That's hysterical.
Hey, this is cool. There's nobody here today.
Oh, awesome. We can get whatever
great
table
service.
You want. It's sad. So, but then this article also points out that this group is actually, it's also a UK group. And like, it's not like the Sona Brunei is directly working with the group. And then even then, this place doesn't make any money. The guy's not hurting for money.
You're not hurting him.
You're not hurting him at all.
You're not hurting that guy, because all he'll do, if it gets to the point where he even feels a little bit.
He sells it.
All it's going to be is pressure on him from the people that are not making money.
And then he just gets out of it.
And he'll be like, that's fine. You can get me out for this much money.
Exactly.
And they're like, hey, we need to pull it all. You need to pawn our stuff.
And he probably ends up making more money out of it. Right.
Because he's going to just hold it for ransom himself.
Yep. Right.
So you want me out? Sure, you've got to pay me this much. Otherwise, we'll just ride this out.
Yeah. Ridiculous. So, it's hurting the people that work there, the waiters that work there, and people gotta protest somehow. And then you see there was footage. They had a protest set up outside. Jay Leno showed up. Oh. Like, he pulled up on his bike, dressed all in denim, and he had his motorcycle helmet in his hand. And I saw a picture of him, and man, I mean, no more pressures of having to present yourself on late night TV.
Oh, very, really?
Homeboy has been getting down on some cheeseburgers. he's been going to In-N-Out and getting those double doubles, dude. His head
is huge.
His head doubled in size. The rest of his head caught up to his chin.
I've always thought since the original, like my first exposure to Jay Leno was him in Mr. Miyagi movie.
Oh, where they're cops. Yeah. I forgot the name of it. Yeah.
I forgot what it was. It's such a horrible cop flick movie. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It's funny. But that was my first experience, and he's one size. Uh-huh. And it seems like his whole career has been a struggle to keep from blowing up.
Yeah, even
on The Tonight Show, like, sometimes he just, you know, he gave up, gained another 20 pounds.
Yeah.
And he just, like, constantly struggled. And right before, when he's crying that last episode, you know,
right.
And I'm like, he's, like, right there at that point, like, you could tell that I'm leaving here and I'm going straight to In-N-Out.
Yep. Yep, yes.
He's like, if you saw the bottom half under this desk.
Exactly.
We were just talking about Jon Favreau and how fat he got, you know. Yeah. And I was saying the same thing. He's a guy, you could see him going back to Swingers. He's a guy who was fighting his weight. Because in Swingers, he wasn't fat, but he could tell.
No, he was a hefty guy.
He was
a bigger dude.
He was a couple fast food trips away from being fat, you know.
And that's the struggling actor. I'm trying to make it, so I'm trying to stay this side. I'm trying to look this way.
Plus, he doesn't have any money, so it's a little easier to not indulge in an extra dessert or a big lavish dinner. But when you become the multimillionaire director and producer of Iron Man,
that's where it happens. If you're not constantly in front of the camera guy, you can do whatever the hell you want.
Yeah, that's true.
If you're in front of the camera, then of course you still have to get in good shape. I mean, you've got people like, you know, like The Rock, Ben Affleck, they still have to stay in a certain.
Yeah,
dude wants to be Hercules. He can't get fat.
Yeah, nope. You still have to. But if you're going to be behind the camera,
hey, whatever,
you have tons of bucks,
slob it up.
It doesn't matter at all.
Yeah,
show up in a wife beater and fucking board shorts. Have at it, buddy.
Yep.
I mean, some of the people on set might look at you differently, but if you made a good movie, then they're like, all right, this guy, that's just a style. Don't worry about him.
Leave him alone.
X-Men, Apocalypse is the next X-Men movie. First off, X-Men: Days of Future Past comes out in 2 weeks. And they just did a press screening for it about a week ago. And even though Fox had an embargo on reviews, as soon as the movie got out, all these critics went online and just blew the movie up. They loved it. Like, X-Men, Days of Future Past is amazing, blah, 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 blah. So Fox was like, all right, you know what? If it's going to be good word of mouth, we're not going to say anything. Yeah, they're happy with that. So apparently this... pretty much the best X-Men movie yet of all of them.
That's I'm very skeptical, man. I want it to be good.
I was super skeptical,
too. It's one of those storylines that if they mess up, I'm going to be very angry.
After the X-Men 3, I was like, this is such crap.
Oh, God, it hurts.
X-Men First Class. I'm like, okay.
Well, first you skipped over X-Men Origins Wolverine, which is just...
Oh, that was horrible, too.
Oh,
and
my God.
Don't get, dude.
That was actually worse than Last Stand.
Because I am a Deadpool fan. I am a Deadpool.
Oh, they messed that up.
They screwed
so
over
bad.
They screwed
me off so bad. The only thing I liked that they did with Deadpool was they had Ryan Reynolds playing him.
It was a great choice.
It really was.
The motor mouth.
Yeah.
They sew his mouth shut.
Yeah, I'm like, you took the best part of. He is the Merc with a mouth.
Yeah.
His trademark, and you cut it. You sew his mouth shut.
So stupid.
I'm like, it just made no sense. The only thing, even in that movie at the end, when it's just his head, he does a shh. I'm like, okay, do something.
And at that time,
save me.
At that time, Ryan Reynolds, he was still very much like, I want a Deadpool movie. He really wanted to bring that character to the screen.
They keep teasing it, but
yeah, that movie just didn't make enough money.
First
and now
Class
Ryan,
was good.
Ryan Reynolds is making enough. Yeah, but First Class, they turn around a bit with First Class because
they got
a good director in there.
This is pretty good.
The Wolverine, I thought the Wolverine is the best of definitely.
Oh yeah,
head and tail shoulders better than the Origins. Origins is so bad.
It was a lot better.
Yeah, Wolverine's much better. But now apparently with Bryan Singer back, Days of Future Past is supposed to be like boom, amazing, and then he wants to make immediately. This is crazy. X-Men Apocalypse for 2016, and then they're going to follow that up with someone else is going to have Wolverine 3 out by 2017.
Well, they need to use Bryan Singer now because he's got all that controversy stuff going on.
Exactly. Yeah, we talked about that before.
They've got to make him basically look
as good as possible, as busy as possible.
What was his name? Oh, man, I can't. Scorsese.
Yeah.
Was Scorsese that had to leave because he had the child?
No. Polanski.
Polanski. Yeah.
Polanski split after when he found out that he did a plea deal in the 70s right. to get like a really, really small sentence. Actually, the time served was what he was going to get. And then he found out that the judge was going to take back that and like sentence him to the hardcore like maximum penalty.
So he dipped.
So he's like, I'm going to France.
But it's this weird middle ground where you can save yourself by putting out good material still.
Oh, yeah. Because,
you can save yourself. Yeah. I mean, look at R. Kelly. We're talking about music, but same thing. He's got all this evidence that he did all this, but the guy, he puts out music and people fall in love.
It's a weird thing with the arts. All right. When someone puts out art like that and people respond to it, and then you're like, but the artist is one thing, and then there's the art. I mean, you go all the way back to the classical compositions of, what's his name? Wagner, the German composer, mm-hmm. who his music is incredible. You know, he Tristan Easold, all that opera is incredible, beautiful music. But then if you read about the guy, he's a horrible racist. Just one of the worst pieces of shit ever.
Right. Yep.
You know, and I'd hate to admire anything about that person, but his music was incredible.
Right.
You know, so I mean...
So that's what they've got to do. They've got to capitalize now.
They do have to capitalize on that. So, you know, that would work for Bryan Singer. It may not work so much for the alleged victim of, you know, a little bit of butt rape. But hey, you know...
Might work with some money.
Not everyone can win. Yeah.
Some money could work.
Pay the guy off.
Money lubricates all, my friend.
Hey, don't say lubricate.
That's why exactly I said it. Come on, I'm a habitual line stepper, Chris.
Okay, so... yeah, so basically you're going to do these two movies in a row. I'm not going to do this fucking article. It's all... And then again, it's all the whole... with the comic books, we're trying to make as many characters as possible and expand everything. You know, like the whole Sinister Six movie and the Man of Steel sequel being turned into a Justice League of America prequel because now they added
Batfleck.
Wonder Woman, and they added another character. Who did they add? Some guy named Cyborg or something.
Yeah, I know. That's right. Cyborg.
Yeah. Is he? Please tell me he's black like he's supposed to be.
Yeah.
Good.
He's actually white and played by a woman.
he's played by a white Jewish woman. I'm sorry. No. They did not whitewash that character for once. All
but
right.
I am kind of disappointed that they're kind of going. I'm hoping that all the casting is for a like a movie stinger kind of thing at the end. That these names are being tossed out there.
I mean, it's definitely Batman versus Superman for sure.
That's fine. That I'm fine with.
I think Wonder Woman is more than an extended cameo. She won't be dead involved in the movie, but she'll still be quite in the film. I think Cyborg is definitely a smaller. Like this is something that we're introducing for a Justice League movie.
That's what I hope it is. Just a lot of small introductions that it doesn't take over the whole movie.
Yeah, that's what I'm worried about.
You can't just take over a Batman versus Superman announcement.
They took over the Superman series. I was looking forward to just Man of Steel 2.
I was hoping forward to it. I thought the first Man of Steel was amazing.
It was good.
I liked it quite a bit.
I thought it was great. I mean, it's in that whole vein of The Dark Knight where realistically thinking this could happen.
What would Superman be like in the real world?
If there was an alien that did come in...
What would he really be like?
Okay, and I'm cool with that. And the whole learning period of everybody's like, oh, Superman, he's supposed to be for good. He wouldn't do all this stuff, all this destruction. He wouldn't kill him.
No,
Superman that doesn't know what he's doing, that just got here.
Yeah, he would have no idea what the hell. My God, I have powers? Why can I see through your skin, but you can't see through mine?
Right. Yeah, and the whole like killing thing, you know, that's a movie thing where Superman doesn't kill in movies. But I mean, in comic books, he's had a share of having to kill people. I mean, yeah, Doomsday.
Do you have any idea how many...
When he died, he killed someone when he died.
Random people from the populace Superman has inadvertently killed throughout his battles. Good Lord.
That's the way it should be. Yeah. I mean, realistically, you can't have... nobody dies. You know, all this huge battle, two people died. He was really lucky. Somebody happened to be working there.
Yeah, or the evacuation plans were just perfect.
Like spot on.
New York City had that. Actually, it was Metropolis. Metropolis had it down pat. They knew what they
and
were
a flush
doing.
Button.
Yep.
Emergency.
And
flush.
Everybody leave. Oh, Superman fight. Everybody get in your tubes.
All right. That's a Terry Gilliam Superman movie right there. Because everyone goes right down in the bunch of tubes. Okay, here we go. We're going to Twitter for some questions here. We got one from at @crazyloco_. He writes, we kind of talked about this already. How excited are you for Godzilla?
Pretty excited.
We're quite excited. Are you? You're not excited, though.
I don't know.
Because you're still
check
wary
it out.
About
check
it.
Up,
yeah.
I'm very weary.
Yeah.
So am I.
I mean, it's definitely fair to be skeptical. You know,
you have to be skeptical.
Keep your expectations kind of low.
Especially when you've already been burned once.
Right.
Yeah. And it's tough because Godzilla is the central character. He was the central character of the old movies.
Yeah.
You know, it's there's battles.
Yeah.
And how do you do that now? How do you do that where you don't lose my attention where... This guy is not talking. He's just running around yelling, destroying buildings.
That's when you have to have that. Well, the Japanese trailer gave away that there is definitely a flying monster. There's more than one monster.
It's more than just Godzilla.
Yeah, and not Mothra, because Mothra is obviously a big moth.
Giant moth.
But it's one that looks like a pterodactyl. And that's Rodan. So it looks like there's a Rodan in this movie and at least one other monster, because there's another like giant appendage thing that stomps to the ground. It doesn't look like a Godzilla foot or anything. It looks like a spider foot or a claw. So
it just sounds very B-movie-ish.
Oh, the whole thing. Well,
that's the point, though. It's Godzilla.
For sure. Big monster movie. Yeah, it's going to be
It's going to get pushed. You have an actor, you know, where...
Oh, Bryan Cranston.
Yeah, you've got it. It's kind of like, how does this
work out? Yeah, but he's not infallible, though, because Bryan Cranston was in that awful Total Recall remake.
Oh, God, was he ever.
And he wasn't even that good in it. All he did was like growl through his scenes. But I blame the director for being like, hey, you can't give this guy decent direction. You know, you got a good act in your hands and you're giving him shit to work with.
But so many times, like since the Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
He's got only so many shots where it's like, this guy's better on TV.
The movie roles, absolutely. Right. Yeah, for sure. And then even when I see him in the trailer here, I'm thinking Heisenberg. Even with hair, clean shaven.
No matter what.
Heisenberg, you got over that cancer. Good job, bro. I thought you died. I'm excited. Like I said earlier, I'm watching monster movies today, so I'm getting ready for Godzilla this weekend at Cinema Funk. Past guest, Aaron from Cinema Funk.
Aaron Weiss.
He writes, when will Bill Murray and Will Ferrell team up for a film?
Never.
They've got to do something soon.
Drew says
I hope never.
You hope never?
I hope never.
You don't want to see him team up?
I do not think that those styles of comedy should ever mix.
Interesting.
Will Ferrell is very lowbrow. I mean, Bill Murray can be lowbrow.
But he's a little more cerebral.
But he is he's more cerebral, and he's on this pedestal, especially now.
Well, he is not. Now he's an American treasure.
You know?
Yeah. Now he's revered.
He's fucking Bill Murray.
Yeah.
And
who's fucking Bill Murray?
To tarnish that relationship by pairing him with Will Ferrell.
He's fucking himself in.
Like, to tarnish that relationship to pairing him with Will Ferrell, I don't think it would be a good pairing.
Okay,
I think it would be god awful. Actually,
but you know, with all that stuff, you only have so much time to actually do that. Like, if it is going to happen, it would happen within the next couple of years.
I'd be fine with maybe seeing the two of them working together and maybe do a remake of something. Maybe have them do a remake of 48 Hours, but Bill Murray in the Eddie Murphy role. He can be the old guy. We can have them do a remake of Thelma and Louise, but for dudes. Because dudes need a Thelma and Louise. And we can watch Bill Murray and Will Ferrell driving around. And they could pick up Brad Pitt. They can still pick up Brad Pitt.
I'm a big Bill Murray fan. I'm kind of taking the same where you are, where I'm like, it's not good enough.
It's not good enough.
Just don't mix it to him.
Yeah, just don't. It's not. No. I'm sorry. Will Ferrell is not good enough to work with Bill Murray. How about that?
However, I wouldn't mind seeing. I like the Anchorman movies just because they're funny. It's just the same old rehash stuff. But they're funny.
Yeah,
I wouldn't mind him having a cameo in those.
That would
Bill
work.
Murray cameo where he's like,
I could see a Bill Murray cameo in a Will Ferrell movie. That I could see, okay. But not
a couple scenes with them.
Because if he did that, then what's happening is Bill Murray is actually elevating the Will Ferrell movie by his presence, as opposed to putting them together. Right. And then the idea you guys are thinking Will Ferrell then brings down Bill Murray with his Will Ferrell.
Correct.
Yeah, it'd be cool to have him having some kind of big higher up of one of the
station roles. To elevate Will Ferrell.
Fair enough.
As opposed to Will Ferrell bringing down Bill Murray.
Well thought out, guys. I appreciate that. At @NathanWilliams_ writes, since it's the NFL draft, top 5 football movies. Football movies. Here we go.
Any given Sunday.
Friday Night Lights.
Stone, fantastic. Friday Night Lights. Peter Berg.
So good.
Great film.
Even better soundtrack.
Yeah, this guy sounds really, really good. What other? There's comedy wise. There's The Longest Yard and The Longest Yard remake. Obviously, yeah.
I would stick with
the original one. Not even because of the whole the remakes. Remakes always suck idea, but just because the original is a 70s movie, with it being in the prison and everything, it just feels more real. Like, this is the way prisons really were back in the day. It's like dirtier and grimier, and it seems. Whereas an Adam Sandler movie, you said in a prison, it's still a shiny,
it's Burt
bright.
Reynolds.
You know, plus, it's Burt Reynolds. Reynolds. It's fun. It's a good movie. You know which one I really like that no one ever mentions?
The Last Boy Scout.
Oh, that Boy Scout's a good one. It's not really a football movie.
Yeah, but the best scene in the movie takes place on the football field.
Yeah, you're right. It's very good.
Mm-hmm. The one with Scott Bakula and Sinbad and Kathy Ireland. Do you know what I'm talking about yet?
What?
It takes place at the University of Texas, but not University of Texas, but at a Texas university. No, you guys aren't thinking.
I'm thinking it's some kind of animal team or something like that, right?
They were the armadillos. Yes, they were the armadillos. The name of the movie is, no, you guys aren't getting it, Necessary Roughness.
Necessary
Roughness. It's a really cheesy, comedy. Scott Bakula looks like a 40-year-old guy. They recruit him because he never graduated college, so they recruit him to come back and play. Kathy Ireland is a soccer player. They get to be the kicker, and it's just a stupid
sounds awful.
As far as comedy,
I love it, though.
Like, you can't... I don't know. It's such a bad movie in a way, but it's a good movie because of all the quotes that came from it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Waterboy?
Yes, Waterboy. Yeah, I actually was thinking about Waterboy, shot in Florida. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Because
it's
still one of the better Sandler movies. I would put that just under his other 90s stuff, Billy Madison, Happy Gilmore. I would put that
and
down.
And the quotes are there. I mean, so the comedy lines are memorable because you've got, you know, so many quotes from the movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I think that's a pretty
little
good one.
Dick. Little Dick.
Is that over five movies? I think we mentioned five.
Sure.
Can't think of any other football ones. I think Any Given Sunday is the best one there for sure.
Definitely. I mean, there's so many football.
I mean, there's some in Jerry Maguire. You know, you got a Varsity Blues, which I hate.
Oh, God, awful.
Terrible movie. At NathanWilliams_ also writes, I hope he didn't do the podcast yet. Oh, we haven't. Well, we're doing it right now. I'm watching Carrie, 1976. Didn't know so many well-knowns were in it. Yeah, that's true. A lot of well-knowns.
Yeah, there are.
I mean, obviously, Sissy Spacek is the Carrie. John Travolta is the boyfriend of the
That's right.
The girlfriend. Yep.
He doesn't get much credit for being in that either.
No, he doesn't. It's a small role, but he's great. He's like, hey, I'm John Travolta. I'm young John. He's great.
Rub a nose up your hose. Yeah. I'm out of here.
Hey, Mr. Carter. the girl is Nancy Allen, who was, you know, really big back in the 80s. Right. And then she probably her most memorable role is when she played the cop, Lewis in RoboCop. She was a partner. Yeah. Who else is in that? There's a couple other people that pop up in that movie. It's a classic. It's Brian De Palma. Everyone wanted to work with De Palma in the 70s. That's right before he did Scarface. I think right after he did The Fury with Kirk Douglas. That's a crazy movie.
Not trying to tangent off, but the Scarface talks of a remake is driving me crazy.
Yeah, you know.
I do not want any of that to happen.
But, I mean, Chris?
Scarface itself is a remake.
Exactly.
I understand that, but I think out of the two films, it's a better remake.
Oh, it is.
It's a better film.
Yeah.
And I don't think you can make that a better film right now.
Well, the thing is, I don't think they're not, like how Scarface, the story of Tony Montana is not.
It's different.
It's different from the original Scarface. With I think Edward G. Robinson, this Scarface is not going to be like based on the early 80s Cuban Miami.
Yeah, because that was very.
Obviously we're going to see Scarface. We're compared to. Hopefully they'll just decide to like, let's make our own movie. Let's not try to have homages to the Brian De Palma Scarface of the 80s.
I guarantee
comparisons to that movie.
I guarantee you someone's going to say hello to my little friend.
And then in that case, then you can just throw the whole fucking thing out the window. Because then what's the goddamn point? Now you're just remaking that. Now you're just remaking.
I can't see anything. Like, I think just drop the idea and make your own movie with this idea and not trying. Because then why use the Scarface name?
Because built-in fan base. Because hip hop artists around the world have Scarface running in their houses.
But they're gonna hate.
I mean, hell, right, there's a rap guy who's named Scarface.
Right. Right.
They're gonna hate that. I mean, I'm a big fan of the movie. I love the movie.
It's a fantastic film.
And
yeah.
I just, as soon as you tie that Scarface name to it, it's trash.
And when it came out, Scarface, like 83, I want to say, bombed.
Yeah.
It bombed. Critics did not like it. No one liked it. It's one of those ones that took a while for people to be like, actually, this is
wait a minute,
fantastic. This movie's great.
And not a bad video game.
I did not
never
play the,
play
video,
the
game.
Video game.
It's Grand Theft Auto Scarface.
Word.
That's right. I remember they did make the game.
It's actually pretty cool. The way it starts. It starts right where the movie ends.
Yeah.
He just doesn't die.
Oh, they save him.
Okay. You start playing to make him survive.
Oh.
Instead of him dying, you need to get out of the house. And then, but then it doesn't get much better. You get out of the house and he has to get everybody back that was after him.
Yeah.
But it's free roaming Grand Theft Auto where you run around stealing cars.
Crazy. So it's Vice City, just not as good.
And it's right around the time, is that the Godfather game too, right? Right around the same time?
Oh, God, that was awful.
That was awful.
And then,
I played that. It was awful.
And like a few years before that is when they did the Warriors game. That was a good game.
That was actually pretty good.
I never played the Warriors.
That was a good game.
That was put up by Rockstar.
It was Rockstar, and it was pretty much the last game they put out for the Xbox before they went on to the 360, and it was good.
I think it came out around the time the Ghostbusters game came out, too. That Ghostbusters
playable game.
And I like that, too, because it had like a story that was kind of based on the film.
Right.
And it kind of strays off that way.
And it also looked great, too. It looked like it was built on the, what was that? What's that game? The God of War? No. The one with the running around, and the aliens in your city, and I can't. Forget it. The video game guy can't mention it.
Aliens in a city running around?
There was a commercial that used the song from Donnie Darko, the Gary Jules cover of the Tears for Fears song. All around me. Gears of War.
Gears,
in your fucking face, right. Video game guy.
I didn't play Gears. I didn't play it either. Fuck Gears of War.
Fuck Gears of War.
Lame.
At Mr. Nadathon writes, favorite child actors that sustained a career as adults, i.e. Christian Bale, Zac Efron. Those are his examples.
Well, I don't think Zac Efron has... he's still a child.
Yeah, we still got... Yeah,
he's still a child.
I mean, he's a ripped child, but he's still a child.
Exactly. Yeah, he needs to prove his chops.
A lot of people don't give Christian Bale... You know, if you guys are into movies, being into movies, you know Christian Bale is a child actor.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of other people are like, he was a child actor? What do you mean?
Yeah. Newsies!
Go watch Newsies. Go watch Newsies.
Seriously, that was... I was obsessed with that movie for like 2 years straight. Now, dude, I bought myself a hat. I used to wear that shit around. I used to run around pretending like I was those dudes.
I used to think of myself, I'm like, I can sell newspapers like this.
Yeah, no, exactly.
You know, we'd get out there, we'd be a gang. You're not going to mess with, you're not going to sell more tapes than I am.
Exactly, dude. No, I was right there. That movie got me.
Man, I'm learning something new about you, sir, right now. I had no idea you're such a Newsies fan.
It was probably my favorite movie as a kid.
That wasn't his first movie, though. His first movie, I'm pretty sure, was Steven Spielberg.
Oh, what was it? No, I... Oh.
Empire of the Sun.
We talked about that too.
Empire of the Sun. He was like 11, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, and that he did that right before Newsies, and I mean, yeah. Spielberg thought this kid would be good enough. And then, of course, he goes on to be
Batman
and John Connor and American Psycho. And yeah, I mean, that's a great example of a child actor making it. Jeff Bridges started as a younger actor, like in his teens. Yeah, he had to make a transition in the 70s from being a teen heartthrob, like a Zac Efron type thing, from a teen young heartthrob to being taken seriously as an adult. You know, until when he could get to Thunderbolt and Lightfoot with Clint Eastwood, which is
Drew Barrymore.
Drew Barrymore, E.T., that's right. And she's managed a great career.
Has
done anything that I liked in a while, but still.
Contact.
Jodie Foster.
Jodie Foster.
She was like 13 when she did Taxi Driver. 13 or 14 years old. Again,
she's gone on to do, I mean, she's actor, director. I mean, woo!
I like Jodie Foster. We were talking about House of Cards earlier.
She directed
one episode.
Did she?
Yeah.
In the new season.
Yeah, in the new season. She directed one of the later ones, and then the one directly after that was directed by Robin Wright. Yeah, what's her name on the show? I don't even know her name.
I forget.
I just know her as Hot Tall Blonde.
Yep.
Princess Bride.
His wife, whatever her name.
Queen Bride. Because she's not Princess Bride anymore. She's too
old. Is it Chris O'Donnell?
He was
he was the fat kid, though.
Yes.
The fat kid.
Yeah,
Jerry O'Connell.
Jerry O'Connell
was a fat kid.
Jerry O'Connell.
Chris O'Donnell, though, he did do stuff in his teens. Like, I think he was... did you ever see that movie Toy Soldiers?
Yes.
Where the school gets taken over by like terrorists, boarding school. Yeah. Was it like a military school too or something?
I always confuse Toy Soldiers and Robin Williams Toys.
Oh, Toys.
Every time somebody says Toy Soldiers, I think
movie.
Of Toys.
Toys is such, man, I watch Toys on Netflix just because it's one of the craziest looking movies ever. Yeah. The
LL
production
Cool J
design
is great in that.
LL Cool J
hides in everything.
He's always hiding.
He could be in this room right now.
He's the son of the British white guy. Like, that doesn't make any sense.
He could be in this room in that corner painted as
and
half
you wouldn't even know.
Half
be,
fear and loathing.
And then he just steps forward.
Oh, goddamn.
You guys talking about me?
And then he licks his lips. yes, we were. LL, thank you for popping out. He gave us a Christian Bale. We came up with some other good examples, though. Right? Another one. That's good. Okay, that brings us to... That was the end of the show, Chico. Lightning round time.
Oh, man.
Boom. Do I have a lightning round? Where's my...
We're going to get inside your head.
Here's my lightning sound. Where did it go? Nope. No, that's not it. Hold on. Lightning.
That's the exact opposite of
lightning. No, that is lightning. Crickets.
Okay, I don't have lightning, but I have this. No, that one sucks. Hold on.
One more try. There you go.
Lightning round. Here we go, Chico. I got 10 questions for you. This is so the people can learn a little bit about you. You can get inside your brain a little.
You don't want to go in there.
Oh, but we are.
I'm not afraid. Trust me.
It's scary every single time.
You haven't seen inside
it.
My head.
We've done a few lightning rounds with him, and the results are frightening. Okay, Drew. Are you ready, Chico?
Yeah.
Drew, start the clock.
Go.
Yeah, number one, Miami Vice, a great TV show or the greatest TV show?
A great TV show.
Okay, number two, what is a big pet peeve of yours?
Are we talking film or just life in general?
In general.
Oh, man, there's a lot. I hate a lot of people. And those pet peeves equal people.
There you go. People equals peeves?
Yeah, people.
All right. Number three, worst job you ever had was?
Winn-Dixie Stockman.
Ooh. Number four, are these hoes loyal?
Never. Not in these streets, either.
Yeah, no. Number five. You down with OPP?
You know me.
Number six. What would you be doing now if you were not here?
I'd be talking to my wonderful mother and her gay husband.
Number seven. In the traditional nursery rhyme, who put Humpty Dumpty back together again?
Oh man, you made me recite in my head. I don't remember. All the king's horses and all the king's men.
But they couldn't put
they
Humpty
couldn't.
Together
That's right,
again.
They couldn't.
So nobody could.
Shut up, Drew. This isn't your lightning round.
I thought Puss in Boots did.
No, he didn't. Oh yeah, that's right. Puss in Boots. I love that movie. Number eight. If you could live anywhere, where would it be?
It would be in Miami at Cheetah's Hallandale Beach.
There you go. Very specific. Number nine. What is the last dream you can remember?
Oh, man. I woke up on a yacht. I could feel the rocking. It felt real. Like one of those realistic dreams.
Yeah.
I had to pee really bad. I got up, and I had to go to the bathroom. I knocked on the door, and Ric Flair, professional wrestler, was in his robe taking
Woo!
A piss.
Sweet.
And said, give me a minute, son. And I went to go pee, and I woke up because I actually had to pee. That's it.
There you go.
All right. Ric Flair and pee.
Ric Flair was cock-blocking you in the bathroom. It's like, whoa, daddy. And finally, number 10, let's play Kiss, Marry, Kill. Tell me which person you want to kiss, which one you want to marry, which one you want to kill. Here we go. Right. The Joker, the Riddler, the Penguin.
Oh, Joker. I kill the Penguin.
Okay.
I want to kiss the Riddler because he's got such luscious lips.
You can see him under that mask.
And I guess I have to marry the Joker.
Ooh.
Right?
Oh.
Yeah. That'd be a weird marriage. But
marry the Joker. That sounds like an abusive marriage to me. All right, well, there you go. That was lightning round, sir. Thank you very much.
Nice,
we appreciate
nice.
It.
Thank you, thank you.
And end of the show means you got to choose a swag bag, red and blue.
Swag bag.
Yes. Every guest gets to take home goodies from our show. So what would you
Let's
like?
Do blue.
Blue, you got it. Here we go. Drew Secagra, please break that out. Poor Chico. And tell him what he's won.
All right, sir. You are the recipient of, Ninja Flick Darts. It kind of looks like a Hi-Li paddle, but you shoot tiny little plastic
My
ninja stars out of it.
My cat is going to love this. He's going to get hit from across the room with that.
We've got you a pair of Battle Force Strike Teams. It's the cheapest G.I. Joes you can find at the dollar store.
Very nice.
And you actually get two of them, so they're 50 cents each.
The one guy's got a beret. See, I've got this fascination with berets lately.
We've got you a package of Flarp Noise Putty. Apparently it makes farting sounds. Ages 3+, do not eat.
Please don't eat it.
But it looks edible.
It does look
it
edible.
It says right on the front, do not eat.
Huge
do
letters.
Not eat because it looks edible.
It looks like delicious pink goo.
You are take, also like, the proud owner of... Fat Jared Leto in Chapter 27.
That's why Jared Leto plays Mark Chapman, the guy who shot John Lennon.
He looks just like from Human Centipede 2. The guy.
Oh, the fat British guy.
He looks just like the fat British guy.
Ooh, that's not a good look, Jared Leto. Good thing you lost that weight.
And you got yourself the final last Cinema Crespo Diso.
We got
fists. Sticker.
We got to make some more stickers. We're all out of stickers. We have stickers we got to send out. So there you go, sir.
Awesome. Thank you guys so much.
Oh, you're very welcome,
Thank you
sir.
For coming on, man. We really appreciate it.
I'm loving this idea of a swag bag. Why doesn't nobody else do that?
It was Chris's idea. He figures, all the, how like
And you
Oscars.
Feel guilty now. Like, I should have brought some.
You should feel guilty.
You know, the Oscars and the Grammys, they give you swag bags for like
you get your
iPhones
yeah.
and your iPads.
Your $50,000 swag bags.
It's like $100,000 worth of stuff, and here you get like $3 worth of junk.
No, that's at least
well, it's got the bag.
$4.95. Oh, the bag is
the
a
bag,
dollar.
So you got to add the extra. Cost
the bag is a dollar, so it's about $6. Awesome. So there you go. Thank you so much, Chico.
Thank you guys so much for having me.
Definitely have you back on soon. Everyone, listen to Answer Pants on Rampant Radio
every Monday
live at 8:30. If you can't listen live, download the show because it's a podcast.
Yeah, it's a podcast. It'll be there.
There you go, Drew. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome, sir.
I appreciate it. Thank you everyone for listening. Remember to rate and review us on iTunes and Stitcher, and we are done.
Oh man, let's run. Yeah. Tell me that the show gets even better where now if I start running, women in lingerie come out
yes,
of the bedroom.
They start chasing
us.
You.
That's what they're chasing us right now.
Yep.
And then we start chasing them, and then we fall on the couch and we kick our legs up in the air. We're all having some fun.
And the old man, the little bald headed old man.
Yeah. and you have to light a pilot, and then there's a giant burner underneath it. Well, if you don't light the pilot...
Was this a pasta cooker?
Yeah, the gas is just going, feeding.
At Macaroni Grill?
Yeah.
Okay.
These guys, they were having a... The morning guy couldn't light the pasta cooker and didn't know what the problem was, but he left the gas on the whole time. So for like 45 minutes, he was going around trying to find somebody to light the pasta cooker for him, and the gas was just building up. Finally, my buddy, he's like, I got this motherfucker. He opens the pasta cooker. He gets his face all up in there so he can see where he's going and what's going on. He goes, he lights a piece of pasta, because that's what we were using at the time, to get, you know, go back there and light the pilot. He didn't know that the cavity was filled with propane. Dude, the second the flame got there, Macaroni Grill had to buy him a new nose because it melted off.
What?
Melted his nose. Oh, my God.
What?
It's got to be hot to melt your nose off. I'm thinking you're saying the guy stuck his face in there and he came out like Patrick Stewart.
Yeah, with no eyebrows. Yeah.
And
melted his nose. I wasn't expecting Michael Jackson.
Cartilage on his nose melted straight off. Macaroni Grill bought him a new nose.
Macaroni
Grill.
Does
he own a Macaroni Grill now?
He should. Oh, my God. That's a crazy story. Check 1, 2. Welcome to the shoe.
Oh, man. Oh, that's perfect. Yeah.
All right.
1, 2. Welcome to the shoe.
1, 2, 1, 2. Welcome to the shoe. Welcome to the show, Batchman. Hey, that sounds pretty good, J-Star.
Now is not the time for the show.
The Banamizer 9000 works pretty good, I got to say.
All right. There we go.
Very nice.
Cool. All
right. So that's good. Yeah, give me some 1, 2, 3s.
Check, check, 1, 2, check, 1, 2.
Beautiful, true.
What?
Yes, more of that.
What? What? In the butt? Want to put your what in my butt?
Excellent.